Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
I'm not insulting you, but I just kept thinking about Howard Stern.
Yeah.
When I was looking at, listening to your show, the other day when I was just checking out what to expect, but I said to my husband, I'm going to be Mary Poppins to your Howard Stern.
I just kept hearing it. I'm ducking and everything. God, in the house, I got scared. I dropped my hot pocket.
Said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids, and we bounced out. We ain't going to be in no fire. Not today.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay. Release the Kraken!
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. This is May 17th, a special day. Yes, it is. I get to talk to my friend, author, humanitarian, wife. That's all I know. That's all I need to know. But anyway, the great Jane Risdon is in the studio today. We're going to have a great interview. I put it in the marquee, and I'm going to give you the phone number. You're going to need it just in case you want to ask some questions. Here it is, 319-527-6099. That's the number, 319-527-6099. That's the number that gets you in the studio. That's the number your voice will be heard around the world. We are global. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. Our ratings are up, and so am I. I have no idea why you people are listening to me. I think you need mental help and take your medication and your shots. But thank you for supporting the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. You know, over the years, we've been on the air for over 12 years. Over the years, I have interviewed heads of state, queens. I actually interviewed a queen from Africa once. She was a real queen. Then I also interviewed a real queen from Britain. He was difficult. Anywho, I have interviewed royalty. I have interviewed heads of state, judges, authors. One of my favorite interviews, besides Jane, was the author who wrote Roots, Alex Haley. I didn't interview him, but I interviewed his wife, who also co-wrote Roots, My Haley. We later became friends and everything. So I have interviewed a lot of people, but one of my favorite is Jane. The blonde across the pond. She's one of my favorites. Well, we did interview her about 2 years ago. She's been busy since then. Here's a copy. I'll read it for you. I wrote it myself. I should know it, but I'm going to still read it for you. Jane Risdon, the author of Miss Birdsong, investigates. That's right. That's right. There's some investigation going on here. The much anticipated book. Anticipated is a word. Look it up. Ms. Birdsong investigates a 20-minute interview. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. She doesn't investigate the 20-minute interview. We're going to have the interview. So I don't know what she's investigating. It hasn't happened yet. She's always on the job. But the book is Ms. Birdsong Investigates. We're going to do a 20-minute interview by me and the popular international author Jane Risdon. This book, what we're going to talk about, it features a former MI5 intelligence officer who was recently forced into voluntary retirement following a 20-year career in the career in the security service. I'm thinking American with Social Security, but this is a different security. Her series of books will feature her as she tries to find her way back into the service and what she gets up to in the meantime. I welcome one of my favorite authors again is Jane Risdon. Did I mention it's 7 a.m. in California? 7 a.m. But Jane's worth it. If you're going to get up for a woman, you might as well get up at 7 a.m. for Jane. There you go. And in our second, after the interview, we're going to talk about things that my listeners hear all the time. Do you hear voices in your head? I mean, seriously? And do you hear ghost voices? You know, you think somebody died and all of a sudden you're in a kitchen and all of a sudden you hear voices and you think you know it and they're like ghost voices? And if you do, are you crazy? Huh? Well, we're going to explore that. You may not be crazy. I just don't want to hang around you. But anyway, we're going to look into that. Then again, our favorite topic, Donald Trump's unhinged again. We're going to hammer this out today at 7 a.m. And I guess that's today. Jane, I didn't get the coffee yet. I tried. What we're going to do once in a while, we have people, and I want Jane to help me. People will call in the show. These are real calls, by the way. They know where my Facebook page is. And I encourage people, if you have problems, because over the years, I mean, we have different subjects. And if you have something that you think I can help you with, a problem, sure. I want you to write me, and I'll say it on the air. We have a morning crew. They're the best in the world. They're not here right now, but hopefully they'll come in. Our morning crew usually supports any guests we have. It's early. Hopefully they'll come in and help you too. But we have Jane here. Not only is she a great novelist, I think she's a crime fighter. She writes books about crime. Maybe she can help us with one of the problems you have. And again, these are real calls. Wait a minute. Let me get Jane in here. What a beautiful lady. She's all dressed up and everything. I can feel her. We had a cocktail. You know, we talked about the show. Usually I don't talk to people before they come on, but Jane, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We had a little cocktail last night. I think she had light wine. I usually don't drink, but she encouraged me to drink, so I started hitting the bottle. Scotch. Seemed like we had a great time. And she had her nice little white wine. I think it was light wine. I don't know. Then I moved on to smoking weed and finished it off with Oxycontin Night. I have a meeting next week. Hey. Good times with Jane. Ladies and gentlemen, she's here, Jane Risdon, the famous author. There she is. Look at that. We love you, Jane. Look at that. Wow.
Oh, amazing. Good morning.
Good morning, you sexy
you?
Lady. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
One pretty girl. Look at you. You know, I can't believe it's been 2 years, almost 2 years, Jane.
I know. You see, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. I didn't have fun because I missed you. Now that you're here, I'm starting to have fun.
Oh, that's all right then. So you didn't miss me during lockdown?
Yeah. But the problem of it lockdown is my girlfriend was also locked down with me, and she's having problems, you know, mental problems. Oh. But hey, she realized who she's with. What about that?
Yes.
Well, look, I saw your picture. I saw your updated picture, and this is what I think.
What a piece of ass.
Wow. Look at that. Look at you.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, look at you. Well, Jane, help me with this problem, then we'll get right to the book. We do have regular readers. They call in or they write me, and they have problems. So I'm going to say what the problem is, and you can give your advice, and I'll give my advice. What do you think? Maybe we can help someone.
Oh, God, help them, yes. Okay, then. I'll try.
Okay. I think you can do it. All right, here it is. We got to play our theme for helping people. Here it is. Here it is.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Ding. Now, Jane, these are real calls. Oh. And these people are on Facebook, and we got to keep their names anonymous because they're on Facebook. We don't want people to target them, bully them, whatever. So we keep their name very anonymous. Yeah, we do the best we can. Here it is. Yeah. Hey, Hammer. That's the guy. We got to keep him anonymous. Mm-hmm. Hey, Hammer. I'm on your Facebook. I wrote you because I heard a Likas. Sometimes we play Tom Likas. He's a guy who's anti-women.
Okay.
Thing on your show. I've been in a relationship for 10 years. What did he? 26? Okay. I met my girlfriend in high school. I found her on Facebook. I think she's cheating. She's breaking my heart. She's the love of my life. I can't think of not living with her or being with her. I feel sick thinking that we are not going to no longer be together. What is your advice?
Mine, advice would be.
Okay, Jane. Well, here it is. This guy's been in love with this woman and for a long time, and his love is his life. She's on Facebook, and he thinks she's going to have an affair. What would be your advice?
Well, have they met in person? That's the first thing. Because if you've met in person, surely he just go up to her and ask her straight out.
Yeah, they are living together. Yeah, they're living together.
Oh, they're living together. Well, I still think they should ask her straight out. I mean, he's never going to find out, is he, if he doesn't ask her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what can she say, yes or no?
Right. Right.
Probably just ask.
Wow. You think he's ready for that? Because usually if she's cheating, she doesn't want him to know. And if he asks her straight out, chances are she's going to lie to him. What do you think? Mm.
Well, the thing is, if you're living with somebody who's cheating on you and you don't want to ask because you think that they're going to lie, you haven't won, have you? I mean, if they're cheating, they're cheating. It doesn't change because you haven't asked them. Mm-hmm. And if you ask them outright and you've got a good relationship, then it won't matter, will it? Because they'll just say, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. I mean, it's not a very good basis for a relationship if you can't speak frankly with one another.
Mm.
What do you think?
I like the way you think. I really do.
Straightforward.
I like the way you think. I like the way you think. Here's my advice. Okay, listen, you little wimp. Now, I'm a very sensitive guy. Ever since I got out of anger management, I went into marriage counseling. I think they fit together. I know what I'm talking about. Many of my relationships have been destroyed, so I have experience in this. Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing, now, he's anonymous, so we could talk frankly, so nobody knows who he is. So I'm going to talk to him. Now, listen, Tony, I'm going to tell you something.
Sorry.
I hear me, 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 me. Little whiny little baby. Let me tell you something. You need to grow some balls, Those are the things that hang between your legs, your little bits and pieces. And I'm going to tell you something. You're worried about you. This is not about you. You're not even thinking about her. And what do I mean by that, Tony? Here's what I mean by that. Who cares? You're up to her. She apparently, if she is cheating, by the way, I'm going to go on the way that she may be cheating, you little pussy. Let me tell you something. If she is cheating on you, well, right now you're a whining little bitch, and right now I'm tired of you, and I want to get rid of you, but I'm going to stay with you for a while because I kind of like the good side of you. What do you think, Jane? He's a nice guy. I'm sure he's in pain, and we should not encourage this pain.
No, he's
okay.
Kidding.
Here's what you do. There is nothing you can do if somebody's going to cheat on you. It's not about you. It's about her. Maybe there's something wrong with her. She cannot be the love of your life if she doesn't love you back. Think about it, Tony. You're the only one who may be in love, but she's not the love of your life. In fact, when she'll realize it later, you're going to be the love of her life because you were a good guy. You did not cheat. You stayed honorable in that relationship, but you cannot control another person and their feelings. And this is not about you, so don't say it's about you and she's leaving or cheating because of something you did not do. This could be nothing about you. Something about her. And if you really want to find the love of your life, you deserve that love back. You're with the wrong person. And even if she's not cheating, just the fact that you have it in your head that she is, it's already the stone in a bad relationship. You can't, you're going to always be suspicious of this relationship, and you're going to ruin it, or she's going to ruin it. Get out now. Get yourself together. Grow some balls and quit being a little pussy. In fact, I have a relationship counselor that we got from Anger Management that I think can help you. Here he is right here. Let's see what he can do. This is for you, Tony. Come to our anger, our relationship counseling.
I got your
there you go.
I got your ass. You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet.
There you go.
You at best unfuck yourself, or I will unscrew your head and shut down your neck. For Texas, sir! Holy dog shit, Texas, only steers and queers come from Texas, private cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down. Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir!
Are you a Peter Pupper?
Sir, no, sir!
I'll bet you're the kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around. I'll be watching you.
And you could go into our little seminar every Saturday. It'll make a man out of you. That's our marriage counselor. So my suggestion, Tony, is to quit crying like a little cat. Meow, 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 like a little baby. This is not about you. This is about her. She doesn't have her head screwed on, and you can't force her to see things your way. I suggest take a break from the relationship. You need to get yourself together. You need to know your value. If you're looking for the love of your life, it's the person who will love you back. Short of that, you're with the wrong person. Well, that's relationship help from Jane Risden and Brian Hammer Jackson. And keep listening. Yeah, what do you think of that, Jane?
Oh, most welcome. I'm glad I stuck to writing because I don't think I'd make a very good counselor.
You make a great counselor. Don't even worry about it. Our next venture will be Suicide Hotline. Can't wait to get on that. All right, everybody. We have a great show. We got Jane Risden in the studio. She's from the blonde across the pond. She's from the UK. She's beautiful. She's going to talk about, she's an author. She has so many books, and she has a colorful life. We were going to do this on video via Zoom. What happened, everybody, is that there's been a little communication problem. Technical problems with Blog Talk and phone and things, and we're so close to the interview. We're going to do part two next week, so we're still going to do it. How's that? We're not going to let anybody down. All right, I'm going to give everybody – it will be fun. We're going to give everybody a chance to come in the studio. This is the time. You see? 319-527-6099. We got Jane Risden. I usually take a break right now, but we're not going to take a break. We're going to go right into it. All right, Jane, first of all, I'm going to give a shout-out. Thank you for your publishing company and your agent. Let's talk about them a little bit and give them some shout-out there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What, you. Is it over to me? Am I allowed to speak?
Yes, I sent it to you.
Oh, good. well, I'd like to say hello to Linda Langdon from Langdon's International Literary Agency, who very, very bravely took me on in December last year and is representing me for Miss Birdsong Investigates, which is a new series that I've written. And she's going to try and find me a publisher for it. But I also have a publisher for Only One Woman, which is with Christina Jones. And the publisher is called Headline Accent. So I'd like to say hello to them as well. And thank you very much.
Wow. Do you also, you have a great group on Facebook. Would you like to talk about your group on Facebook?
Miss Birdsong Investigates group?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I was advised to set that up in preparation for the book coming out whenever it comes out, because Linda is convinced that it will be published very soon. And I was advised to set the group up to warm people up to Miss Birdsong and give a bit of background information about her. Not any spoilers. There's nothing in there that gives the story away, but there's a lot of information about her, her background, how she became an MI5 officer, what sort of projects that she worked on when she was with MI5, and also her education. And there's a lot of information on there about MI5 and organized crime, because Miss Birdsong Investigates is encompassing both organized crime and MI5, you know, security services for the UK. So it's a quite a comprehensive story. There's lots of little alleyways that you can go down. So I put the group together, and I've been absolutely overwhelmed with the number of people that have wanted to join and take an interest.
Well, they're good people. I've been looking at your group, and it's great, talented authors there, great sense of humor. They support you. Really good people. I belong to a lot of groups, and I don't even know who I belong to, but I keep an eye on your group. And they're really good people. I'm starting a group probably this afternoon. I can't tell you the name. But, you know, the mistake that people make when they start groups, I'm not saying you're doing it right, other groups.
Right.
They only cater to the artists, meaning that if you're an author, I'm only catering to other authors. And I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
And I've been studying these groups. I mean, this is my opinion. This is just my opinion. I'm not saying yours. I like your group. You are exempt from what I'm saying. I'm just talking in general.
Right.
So they cater to the artists, whether you're an author, okay, I get authors in a group, I'm a musician, and I see musicians, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But they're not catering to the consumer. If I was an author and I want to belong to a group, I want to not cater to other authors. I want to cater to consumers. I want them to buy my book. I want a group of consumers. And so I've been looking at this. I studied this for about maybe a month or two. And because when we first started the show was to move artists forward, and we have done it. I could not move authors forward, and it's like, and I worked on it, Jane. It was in my head for 2 years, and it's hard to move authors forward, and it's hard to move, musicians are okay, because if you get a catchy tune, people are going to buy it, but to get somebody to buy a book from an unknown author, it's difficult. You know, people are usually set in their ways. So I have to say, okay, I have to unscrew their mind and do something that I can move an author forward. I couldn't do it for 2 years except come on a show, and I found a way. It took me 2 years.
Wow.
I found a way. Yes, I will not disclose it yet because I haven't got the group together, but I'm getting the group together. It'll be up in 3 hours.
Right.
Well, right, the name is just amazing. What we're going to – oh, it's just – amazing. That's why I can't say it on the air, because then somebody will use
everybody
the name and I can't get it. Yeah. But the group is going to be artists. And direct to consumer.
Cool.
Direct to consumers. It's really exciting. That's all I can say. It's giving you a little tease there. You know what I mean? I'm just a teaser.
Yeah.
So I'm going to invite you in there. My last group had over 12 to 14,000 people on Facebook. That's pretty good.
It is.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 12 to 14,000 that was in my group on Facebook, and it's still growing. But the problem of it is I got hacked, and now I have no access to that group anymore, so I have to start a new group.
Hacking is a problem, isn't it? I mean, it really is.
It is, and Facebook has a stick up their ass, too. I mean, you can't even promote. Mm. They're doing all these changes. Screw you, Facebook. So anyway,
difficult.
That's about us. It is. Oh. Okay, enough about me. Enough about me. Jane, you know, Jane has other books, too. If you go on Amazon, you see this beautiful face right there. Look at her. Yeah, what a sexy little piece of cupcake she is. All right.
I'm more like a fruitcake.
And say hello to your fine hubby, by the way. Give him a hug for me. I'm going to mention some books. You just give me, you know, a 30-second, whatever you want to say, whatever comes to your mind, okay?
Yeah.
Here
okay.
we go. We have one, When Stars Will Shine. Is that yours?
I've got a story in that. I think you're going to mention some anthologies that I have short
mm-hmm.
stories in. And that was a book that was put out to help our veterans. It was a charity book in aid of veterans. And I have a story in there, which I'm trying to remember what it's called. I can't remember the story. Isn't that dreadful? But I've written a short story in there. And the people that have contributed towards the book actually have all the proceeds go to the charity. So I think it's going to Help for Heroes, which is the charity that Prince Harry set up in aid of our veterans. Yeah. So I do a couple of books every now and again, which I contribute freely to, that go in aid of charity.
Mm.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
Christina Jones, Jane Risdon, Only One Woman.
Yes, that's a novel that we wrote together. Christina and I have been friends since she was the fan club secretary for my husband's band back in the 60s. And she was a rock journalist at the time. And she became a very, very famous, best-selling, award-winning romance author. And she and I always wanted to write together. But as I think I said to you when I've spoken to you about this off camera, Christina and I, she writes romance and I write mostly crime. And so I couldn't think and she couldn't think how we'd ever get together to write a book that we could write together. And it wasn't until I was looking at some old diaries from the 1960s right the way through to the 70s and thinking what to do with them because I'd just moved house and you know how heavy diaries are. And I thought, shall I chuck them out? And then I started reading them, which is always a big mistake, because then you sit there for hours. And put the thing together from those diaries, because I thought, this will make a good story. And at first, I thought I was going to bump somebody off in it, you know, because I write crime. And I was writing, trying to think, how do I kill this person? And it suddenly occurred to me, that it could be a romance, it could be a love story. And also a sort of a commentary on the 1960s, 1968, 69 UK music scene. And so I wrote my bit and I sent it to her and she read it and she said, I can put Stella in there, the person called Stella. And so we wrote it actually never being in the same room together and exchanging about three emails. And she read what I'd written, which is in diary format, and she fitted her story of Stella into that diary format brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. And our publisher loved it. And people tell me they can't tell which characters have been written by whom.
Really?
So they can't, you know, because she copied my style, but she didn't need to because it was very similar. I don't mean that in a, you know, she copied my style, but she threaded her character into the mood of the book, put it that way. And I'm writing a sequel. Stella won't be in it, I don't think. But, you know, she, she really enjoyed it. I did as well. And we were able to go back and draw on all our knowledge of the 1960s music scene and the venues and the musicians and the food and the fashions and the music. It was great. I really enjoyed it. She did as well.
Well, you know what? Collaboration is great, especially when you have two talented people. I love it. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna move to the Ghostly Rites Valentine's Anthology of 2017.
Yeah, okay. The Ghostly Rites anthologies are a series of books called Ghostly Rites, which is by Placid Publishing, who published Undercover Crime Shorts. And again, it's short stories, and they've all got a ghostly theme. And mine usually have either music running through them, something to do with the music industry, and it's quite creepy. And because it was a Valentine's issue, then it had to have a bit of romance as well. Well, mm-hmm. I'm not really a romantic person. And mm-hmm. so when all of anything where I'm concerned that it, the word romance comes in, I always have a twist or a sting in the tail. I can't do the lovey-dovey happy ending bit. Or if I do, it's got a twist, you know. So yeah, that's one of a series of Ghostly Rites books that I contributed towards. Because when I first started writing, and I had Miss Birdsong already almost finished, I had also got Only One Woman finished, and I couldn't put any other books out until that had all been dealt with. I thought, well, I'll do short stories because Jeffrey Archer does short stories and he's brilliant at it. So that's what I do when I'm not doing novels. But I've got 5 novels on my computer, so I'm keeping myself busy.
Well, you know what? You're a great writer. And the book that I met you and I interviewed you the first time was the Undercover Crime, Shorts.
Mm.
Right. Undercover Crime Shorts. Now,
yeah.
I think I have that book. I purchased that book. Either I did or my producer did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to support you. These books, I mean, she has so many books, and I can go on and on and on. I only have her for a short period of time, and she's coming back. Just going to Undercover Crime Shorts, I Enjoy by Jane Risdon. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Risdon?
Yes, it is Risdon, yeah.
Okay.
I get called Ritson, Risdon, you name it, but it is Risdon.
Well, you have done great work, Christmas Capers. We can go on and on, and you have great work. You are accredited author, and I do
enjoy you,
and I enjoy your work and your group. Shout out to your group, great, wonderful people. We're going to get right to business here. Now, you have this book, it's and I saw it on your page, it says Miss Birdsong.
Investigate.
Now,
yeah.
Is this a one-off book, or this is going to be a series of Miss Birdsong? It sounds like she's like a Columbo or Sherlock Holmes. Tell me about this book that's coming out.
Right. Miss Birdsong Investigates is a series of books. But each one
mm-hmm.
will be able to be read as a standalone. So you could pick
mm-hmm.
it up anywhere and read it out of sequence if you want. And the first book, which is the one which is out with publishers at the moment, Miss Birdsong Investigates Murder in Ampney Parva, which is a village in the Vale of the White Horse in Oxfordshire, but it's a fictitious village. But the
mm-hmm.
Vale of White Horse in Oxfordshire is a real place. There's a great big giant white horse carved in the hill there, which is Neolithic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's set around that area, and it investigates murder in Ampney Parva, Operation Matryoshka. And Matryoshka are the Russian dolls. You know the dolls where you open a doll and pull another doll out, and you pull another
right.
doll out? Have you ever seen those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's like peeling an onion. And
mm-hmm.
so this story is when Lavinia Birdsong is an intelligence officer with MI5, and she's been seconded to MI6 for a few years to work on an undisclosed project, but we just call it Operation Matryoshka. And
mm-hmm.
during that time, she has a relationship with an MI6 officer called Michael Dante, and they go off and they do their joint operations together. Well, something went wrong with the latest Matryoshka operation, and they're hauled back into MI5 and MI6. And she's told basically that she screwed up, and she's going to have to take voluntary retirement, which is basically either retire or be sacked. And Michael Dante doesn't get anything except going back to Moscow to finish off the job that they were both doing. Well, of course, you know, she goes absolutely mental. I mean, that's not funny. So they split up because they were a couple. And she buys a house in a little village called Ampney Parva, which is in the Vale of the White Horse in Oxfordshire, and goes there and decides that somehow by hook or by crook, she's going to get back into MI5. She cannot face the future of just twiddling around doing nothing. I mean, she's got private income. She's quite wealthy, so she doesn't need to work really. So she moves into this village, and while she's trying to work out what the hell she's going to do with herself, a young woman goes missing living locally, and her son, who's a teenager, comes and asks her if she could help him find her. So Lavinia Birdsong decides that she will try and find this woman and investigate her disappearance and somehow inveigle her way back into the good books of MI5. And whilst she's on this investigation, a lot of people from her past pop back, and she actually finds herself working more or less in the same area that she was working in before. And I won't tell you too much because it'll give it away. But it's partly security services. There's people trafficking in it. And there is organized crime.
Wow. Is there any nudity?
Actually, it's a very interesting book because when you start reading it, you mentioned Miss Marple and Sherlock Holmes. Right. Well, when you first start to read it, you could be fooled into thinking that you were going to read a cozy mystery.
Really?
But the story builds and builds and builds and builds. And in actual fact, at the end of it, it's quite a violent book. Although it's not gory, there is violence in it. Yeah, there is violence in it. And she is very handy because if you know from looking at the group, she is a karate black belt. She's martial arts trained. She's a dead shot with a gun. And, she's been in some very sticky situations, and she can actually, you know, if you took her on, you'd probably come out worse for wear. But she's a very genteel, very pretty woman, and you wouldn't think butter would melt, you know? So be in for shock.
You know, interesting. Do you find yourself in your characters when you do write a book? It's a little bit of you and each character. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I do black belt karate.
Wow. Okay.
No, I don't. Honestly, I don't. No, I don't. In my dreams.
In your dreams.
In my
wow.
Dreams. Yeah.
You know, there might be some psychological problems that you may have. Could be something wrong with you.
Let's explore. Yeah.
No, that's your charm. Are you kidding me? That's your charm. I like the naughty side of you. Are you kidding me? We all have that. But how did you get into crime? I mean, if I talk to you, I would think mystery writer. I would think thriller. You know, you write these thrillers. You went right to crime. And have you been fascinated with mafia or just jewel thieves and people, you know, doing capers? Did it fascinate you when you were a young girl?
When I was younger, I used to read all of the boys' adventure books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't like girly books, so I would definitely read Enid Blyton and Robert Louis Stevenson, people like that. And then I gravitated then to John le Carré and Frederick Forsyth and Mickey Spillane and people like that. I loved it. When I was going to work, I ended up in the Ministry of Defence in Germany, working there. And of course, but the building that the officers' mess was in, because it was a big army base, but it had civilians there as well, was where Goering used to deliver his speeches during the Second World War. And that used to intrigue me. And then I went to work with the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in London, which is a bit like your State Department,
right,
in Whitehall. And they have close, they have very close links with MI5 and MI6. It all gets a bit muddled up. And while I was there, you had the Cold War. You had the IRA at its height. There were lots of factions around the world kidnapping people, you know, like the, I think the Tamarindus guerrillas, I think I always pronounce it wrong, but they're
right,
from Montevideo. They kidnapped one of our ambassadors and held him for about 9 months. Well, I was working in the Foreign Office dealing with all of that. I mean, not personally, but in a group of
right,
people that were doing different aspects of that. And then I went to work at the Atomic Energy Research Establishment at Harwell, which is world famous, actually. And that intrigued me as well, because if you look at the Foreign Office, the Ministry of Defense, and the atomic energy world, it's all full of secrets, it's all full of spies, it's all full of little intrigues going on. And what with crime writing, reading rather, and all of that, it sort of set my imagination off, and that's all I ever used to read was espionage or crime or thrillers or mystery.
Really?
And so, yeah, so if I were going to write a book, it would have been that. You know, that's what I'd always wanted to write from the age of about five. I used to write little stories on bits of paper. And, you know, it just developed from there. And, of course, when I retired from music, it's, oh, thank God, you know, I've got some time for me. I can actually do something I want to do for a change.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down and I wrote. And I'm still writing.
Wow. It's, do you have any children?
Yes, I have one son. He lives in Los Angeles.
Wow. Oh, really? He lives by me then. I'm in Hollywood, so I can, you know.
Yeah, he works in Hollywood. They,
oh, does he really? Wow.
Yeah, he does. I mean, because we used to live in Hollywood. All of us. yeah, he works in Hollywood. He's sort of works in the entertainment industry as well as...
really?
Yeah, he works for people who are billionaires.
I might know him. Well,
you may.
I may. It's a small world. I'm going to go really quickly because our time is running. Well, I could talk to you forever. You know, you and I, we could just talk. But I have to remember I'm on the air. I have to remember that you may want this tape. So, and you are people listening. But we're going to go over it really quickly. We're going to go over your talking points. And you would have, to keep you on time, you would have like maybe, I don't know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds to talk about each talking point so we can get them in. Are you ready to give it a go?
I should try.
All right, here you go. Oh, by the way, I got to let people know who I'm talking to. I am talking to the infamous, the famous Jane Risdon, the celebrity author, the bestseller, the blonde across the
pond.
Jane Risdon, everybody. If you'd like to come into the studio, please do. 319-527-6099. I promised Jane, or I kind of threatened Jane, that if my morning crew comes in, we're going to play a game. She goes, uh-oh. Yeah.
Mm.
But if the morning crew does not come in, we won't play the game. So you're safe. But if they do come in...
Gosh.
I know. It's rude for them not to come in. Little bastards. I love them to death. The morning crew is the best. So here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. 30, you got up to 30 seconds between each talking point. Here we go. All right. Yeah. Tell me about your career as a British Foreign and Commonwealth office, that you worked in the office with the government and the department. Tell me about that. How was it? How did you get involved? And go.
Well, I tell you, I was in Germany working for the Ministry of Defense, and my now husband was back in England with his band, and we used to seem to meet at railway stations and airports. We never actually got together very often. And so I transferred to the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in London, and he was living in London, so we got to see more of each other. And I worked in a department that handled everything to do with the embassy staff around the world, and that included some of the spies.
Wow.
So there you are. Yeah.
Wow. Look how interesting. See how interesting she is. All right, here we go. You're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Your life in the international music business, you're managing recording artists, singers, songwriters, record producers.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. How'd you get involved? Well, what was it?
How did I get involved? Well, I married a musician. That's the first thing. And we had a life with him being a musician on the road. And then eventually we decided we'd had enough of that because we never saw each other very often. And we decided to go into management of other artists and pass on some of our knowledge and information. So we formed a management company and we got them record deals in countries all around the world, soundtracks on movies and television series. And, you know, I manage record producers, I manage singer-songwriters, musicians, R&B, pop, rock, thrash, you name it. And then got fed up with that because, you know, again, you don't see each other and it's very tiring being on a plane 24/7. So that's when we retired and I decided to write.
Well, tell me the concept. Very good. We're on time. Tell me what went through your mind. Okay, you work for the government agency. Okay, we're messing around with musicians. They're out of their mind. I'm going to be an author. So you started writing. Tell me about this.
Yes.
Since 2012, you wrote a book.
Only One Woman. Only One Woman. It wasn't the first book I have on my computer. As I say, parts of Miss Birdsong were on there, and I had a book on about the music industry on there. But Only One Woman, as I say, started because we'd moved, and I was going through stuff and looking at diaries and thinking, should we keep them or shouldn't we? And
right.
You know what you do when you get a diary, you start reading it. And I thought, wow, there's so much information here. It seems a shame to waste it. I could put it into a story. And I thought, well, I'd write a story about murdering someone, but actually it turned out it was a love triangle based in the music industry. Nobody died.
Let me ask you, you are too much. You know, you're funny.
Yeah.
You crack me up. Let me ask you a question, really an honest question, okay? You're a good person. I know you're a good person.
Right.
If I created an island that you could, you know, it was almost like Fantasy Island. It's make-believe, but it's real scenarios. And you could murder someone, but they're not really dead. But, you know, you go through the process as a serial killer or a murderer. Would you do it? And if you would, again, it's make-believe. It's all role-play. And if you would participate, if you would participate in this carnival of murders, what kind of murderer would you be, and how, and what kind of murders would you do, and how would you get away with it?
Well, I studied forensic science and criminal justice, and so I sort of know quite a bit about when people dispose of a body, and I also know how difficult that is, and I also know that with DNA and forensic science today, the chances of you getting away with it are virtually nil. Eventually. So if I did murder someone, I'd probably say to you, read Undercover Crime Shorts and see how I murder people in that, because in that book there are methods of killing people that could look like an accident.
Stop it. What are you doing? Methods of killing people. What are you doing? I got kids listening. Well, mother, I've been listening to Brian again. I'm gonna get the book. And I'm going to learn how to kill you, Dad, and that little bastard, my brother. What are you doing? What methods of killing people? All right. I'm going to have a drink. I don't care how early it is. Go ahead. All right. Continue with your book and get the book. And there's methods of killing people. Go on.
Yeah, well, the thing is that there are lots of things around your house that you could actually kill people with, and it would be very difficult to detect how somebody died. And in Undercover Crime Shorts, I have a scenario where somebody murders somebody, but they don't die until 12 hours after the murderer has left the scene. So you can kill somebody over a long period of time, and also the method that I used is not detectable. So it looks like a natural death. And the person who caused the death could have an alibi because they're away, and they've been away for a long time. So, you know, there are methods of doing it. And as I say, would I kill lots of people? Would I choose to kill people? Probably not. I don't believe in the death penalty. I think that because there are so many opportunities for miscarriages of justice that, you know, that I've studied, and I think to myself, no, I could not possibly, you know, condone that.
Right.
Unless you caught somebody red-handed massacring people, probably shoot them on the spot would probably, you know, be the answer
then
to that
okay.
one. Don't bother with the trial. But, you know, when there are cases like the three guys, the three black guys that were released, was it last year, after 36 years? I studied that case and how on earth they ever were convicted in the first place. Well, you know, I mean, that's a miscarriage of justice. Imagine if they were on death row and it was carried out.
Hey,
and those guys were innocent.
Yeah.
You know, and the same in England. I mean, we don't have a death penalty. We haven't since the early 1960s, thank God. But the number of people that they found out that, you know, were innocent of the crimes that they were convicted of. And now that we've got DNA and forensics, you can actually prove that somebody hasn't done something. Mm. You know, so if we'd pulled a lever or injected them or hanged them or something, you can't reverse that, can you?
That's true.
No.
And we have to be aware there's kids listening. So the message to you kids, murder responsibly. That's the message. That's the message to the children.
No.
Yeah, be responsible, you little bastards.
Yeah, it's a terrible crime. It's a terrible crime, and we laugh about it, and I write about it. But actually, it quite repulses me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I find it very difficult. I don't do gory murders. I do, I hope, clever, twisty murders, you know. But, you know, some people go into real detail, and oh, no, I couldn't do that. I can't watch it on television. I mean, I love watching crime thrillers and what have you, and police procedurals, but when it gets too gruesome, I can't stand it.
Right. No. Do you think Sherlock Holmes was a real person, or is this just a legendary character?
Well, you know, I'm not a great fan.
Oh, you're
I'm
not?
I'm sorry to say that. No, I'm
really?
Not.
Really? So you're not a homie?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But was it, apparently, the doctor that wrote him was, he seemed to fantasize, didn't he, about being a detective? So
seems
I don't
like he
know.
Did.
Based on someone, yeah.
Okay.
He might have done.
Well, you have done brilliant. You have done brilliantly. Our interview is about to end, and I do want to remind people, again, we have so much fun. I talk to Jane. I have so much fun. But she is a very serious author. Her books are amazing. You can get them on Amazon. Her name is spelled J-A-N-E. Her last name is R-I-S-D-O-N. And D stands for, damn, that's good. Jane Risdon. Go on Amazon, support our artists. You know, just because you have not heard of this author does not mean they're not brilliant. She is brilliant. And all those authors you did hear of, they weren't heard either until somebody said, hey, this is a good book. I'm saying, hey, get her books, Jane Risdon. All right, Jane, you skated the interview. There's, I don't have the morning crew in here, so we can't play the game. What I'm going to do, I wanted to play the game so bad. What I'm going to do, I'm not going to let you go yet. I'm going to give them a chance. They're waiting for the interview to get over, so I'm going to give them a chance to come in the studio. It's probably about 6 o'clock where you are. It's almost 8 o'clock a.m. where I am.
Right.
I'm going to give them a chance to come into the studio because we are saying goodbye, and that's usually when they come in, and they want to ask me questions. Also, if any of your groups listening, anybody in your groups listening, please come in the studio and get a chance. If you have a book that you are promoting. Yes. If you have a book that you're promoting on Jane's group, please come in and give it a shout-out. This is free advertising for you. So I'll give you time to do that. And say hello to Jane. So let's play a song. Jane, you have a favorite song or anything that you like to hear while we, you know, go for a break? Anything?
Oh,
any song?
Yeah. Well, you know, the only one woman that I wrote with Christina Jones, the foreword is written by a singer called Graham Bonney. And Graham Bonney is used to sing with Rainbow. Do you remember Rainbow? probably not. It's a heavy rock band. Well, if you get Since You've Been Gone or All Night Long, any of those by Rainbow, that'd be cool.
Okay, could you spell the name for me?
Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, Graham, Bonnet, B-O-N-N-E-T.
Oh, okay, B-O, Bonnet.
Rainbow.
Oh, okay,
yeah, Bonnet.
Graham Bonnet?
Oh, Bonnet. Yeah,
okay,
Bonnet.
So what song do you like? What song do you like?
It could be All Night Long or Since You've Been Gone.
Okay.
And the band is called Rainbow.
Okay, here we go. This
oh,
band's
you.
Called Rainbow All Night Long. This is in the 80s. We're going to take, I think he's doing it live. And let me put this on hold. Okay, here we go. We're going to play this song because we're taking a break. If you'd like to come in the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. And that'll get you in the studio to talk to the great Jane Risdon. And we'll be right back after this. It's Rainbow All Night Long.
Thank you.
Natural Jane Risdon, one of my favorite authors. There you go. Did you enjoy it?
That was fun. Yeah, I did. That was great. I've shaken my head and head banged and stage dived, and now I'm in London.
Well, You are great. And our interview is over, and our morning crew did not come in, so we're not going to play the game, but I'm not going to let you go so soon, so we'll play my little game. All right.
Oh, Jay. God. Okay.
We're going to play a game called Password, you and I.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're going to play for charity. There's different charities out there. You know, kids who have cancer and a lot of other charities, AIDS and so on. But there's a little charity that is close to my heart. I really want to help. These are called Hammer Kids. These are kids with no common sense whatsoever. They have no common sense. We need to help these kids. You can't have them grow up to be adults and make bad decisions. Now, Jane, here's how it works. Have you ever seen the TV show Password, where there's an answer, but you had to give three word clues to get to the answer?
No.
Really?
No idea.
Well,
no.
Okay. Well, I'll give you an example. Let's say the answer is a rose.
Right.
Well, the person has to give a one-word clue for you to guess the answer. They have three choices. Like, for instance, I would say flower. You would say your answer, and it might be wrong. Then I'll give you another clue. I would say red. You might say rose. That would be the answer, or thorns.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do, as you promise not to cheat, I'm going to say the answer, but I'm going to give you clues. I'll be your guy. I'll give you clues to see if you can guess the answer.
What it is. Okay.
Okay. Let's see how well you are, because you're a crime fighter and writer.
Right.
You're good with clues. I think you'll do quite well. Yeah. All right. Here we go, everybody. Here we go. It's time to play the game. Jane had no idea that she's going to play a game with me. She's very much aware that anything can happen on this show, and usually does.
Yeah.
So we're going to play the game. Let me get the game music, get you in here, and you're going to be like a contestant at first. You know,
you know
how game shows are, and I'll ask you about yourself and everything, and then my game name is Mr. Winky. I'm Mr. Winky.
God.
You can call me Wink. You can call me Winky.
Right.
You may address me by Mr. Winky. Here we go. It is time to play.
This is You Bet Your Ass.
Excuse me. That is. All right. Well, we have a 111 here. I don't know if it's a friend or foe. Let's see who it is. 111, you're live on the show. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson, and you are? 111.
Okay. Is that me?
Sometimes they talk. Sometimes they just come in and listen to the show. That's okay. And sometimes they come in and say, I just adore you, Brian, but this is not one of the times. All right, here we go. Now, remember, we got to get in our game show kind of thing, and I'm Mr. Winky. You ready to play? We're going to play for kids who need common sense. What's wrong with our kids today? Right. Let me get the game show music, and let's play. Let's see how well your mind works. You never played Password before, right? You might be good.
No, I don't play games. I don't play games.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in our private studio, which you cannot hear the answer. But the audience could hear the answer. Then I'm going to bring you out of my privates, and then we'll play. All right. Here we go. Remember, first you act as a contestant. Here we go. There you go. Hello, everybody. This is your favorite game show host, Mr. Winky. That's right. Winky Dinky. I love playing games. We have a special celebrity guest today. She's from the UK. The girl across the pond. All right. She's playing for charity, kids who need common sense. Let's give her a game show welcome. Today, we have the famous author. You know who she is. So since you know who she is, I don't have to say who she is. Screw you guys. But anyway, we have to go along with the game and let her explain who she is. Ladies and gentlemen, or celebrity guest is in the studio and she is playing for charity. Let's give a big round of applause for the sexy, talented Jane. I can't believe. Okay, Jane Risden, everybody. Jane Risden. Here she is. Yeah. Jane, we have never met before, and I don't know who you are. You wandered into the studio, and you decided to have coffee and sat down for a donut. But you're going to play the game. Tell us all about, tell the audience about you, Jane.
I'm a housewife. I'm called Madam Butterfly. I'm from England, and I love donuts. And that's why I'm here. So I love the donuts.
You love the donuts. Thank you, Jane. Yay, Jane, look at this. They love it. The audience are with you. All right. Are you ready to play Password? Yes, you are.
I am. Yes.
Okay. Jane, I'm going to put you in my privates.
Ooh.
You will not hear the answer, but I have to tell the audience what it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here you go. You are now private. Okay, there you go. Jane cannot hear me. She's in a private studio. She can't hear any. In fact, there's nothing she can hear. We're going to play Password. Password. The answer is cucumber. Cucumber. All right, let's bring in Jane. All right, Jane's back into the studio. She didn't hear anything.
Nope.
You were in my privates. How was my privates? What do you think of that?
Well, a bit cramped.
Okay. Okay. Now, Jane, your first clue. You have to guess the answer. Your first, you have three of them, so take it easy. Your first cue, your first clue.
Mm-hmm.
Bollock. Bollock. Phallic.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not God. We can't accept that answer, but go ahead.
Is there another one?
Oh, no, God. You have to give me an answer. Just whatever you think.
Man.
Man. Is it man? A phallic man? Second clue. Second clue. Vegetable.
Right.
Vegetable.
Carrot?
Carrot. Is it carrot? No. Your last clue. Your last clue. Your last clue. Green.
Oh. It's not the giant of Abyss, is it?
I don't know what that is, but I don't think it's the answer.
All right, okay.
We'll give you one more. Green.
Hmm.
10 seconds.
I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a green vegetable that looks like a phallus.
Right. Right.
And it's got two bulbous bits. Fennel.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Judges? Oh. The answer was cucumber.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Many people, cucumbers are very good. I mean, in soups and salads, and I think some women enjoy them in their pleasurable days in the midnight when they run out of batteries. Cucumber. All right.
Oh,
we'll play one.
Okay.
How about one more? One more.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and put you back in my private. Okay. Here you go.
Right.
There you go. There you go. Enjoy. Jane cannot hear me. The password is author. Author is the password. All right. Jane, here we go.
Yeah?
Everybody knows what the answer is. You ready for your clues?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Hopelessly.
Okay. Writer.
Right.
Writer with a W.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Writer.
Writer, yeah.
And your answer?
Me.
Me. Is me the answer? Oh. No. You egotistical mother. No. 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 Close. Close.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Published.
Right.
Published.
Mm-hmm. Can I have another clue?
No.
Oh.
No, you can't. you have to answer through each clue. Oh. Published.
Oh. All right. Book.
Is it book? No.
Oh.
Very clue.
Come on then.
Oh boy. Writer, published, series. Yeah.
Misled song.
You're always promoting, aren't you? That's pretty good. But no.
No.
No. Oh, the judges. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. All right. We're gonna make sure you go away with something.
Right.
One last one, okay?
Oh, my God. Okay, go on then. I'm used to
Lord help
things.
Us. You got our prayers. You got our prayers. Okay. Here you go.
Right.
I'm going to put you back in my privates. My privates haven't had so much fun in all days. Here we go, Jane. You're back in. Okay, here we go. Whew. All right, the last one. The password is... Miss Birdsong is the password. Okay. Here we go. Jane? Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Last one.
Okay.
Here's your clue.
Hit me.
Hit me, baby, one more. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Your first clue. Really? Okay. MI5.
Lavinia Birdsong.
Wow! Wow! Look at that! Yes! You got it! Yeah!
How shocking!
How shocking! Yeah, we're all counting on you. Yeah, that's it! Hey, I am your host, Winky Dinky. And you've just seen a winner. She is always a winner, not only in this game show, but her books. Look for Miss Birdsong Investigation coming out shortly. I think she may be taking pre-orders. Again, the author is Jane Risden, the fabulous Jane Risden. She has many other books. Go to Amazon, put her name in, Jane, R-I-S-D-O-N, Risden. Enjoy yourself with some great, fabulous books. Excellent writing. Thank you for playing, Jane Risden. I enjoyed the show. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it a lot, thank you. Game shows, I must go and try and do a few.
Well,
I've got no imagination.
You nailed it. You sure did. Lord help us.
Painful. That was painful.
Well, at the end, we'll be doing all of our shows. I want to give a shout out to, I think Kevin is in your group. I think it's Kevin. I'm not quite sure. And Miss Birdsong.
Kevin Howe?
Yes.
He's a cool writer. He's got one of his books are being made into a play for a charity.
Wow. I want to give a shout out to Kevin. He mm-hmm. welcomed me into the group. Very nice person. What's the name of his book?
I think it's Peregrine something. It's a fantasy writer, fantasy and sci-fi with aliens and things in it. So,
wow.
I mean, he's got several books, actually. I'm not sure what the one
really,
he's you know, doing at the moment.
He's a nice bloke. He welcomed me.
He is.
And seemed like a nice guy. Support Kevin and, of course, our Jane Risden. Jane, this is when we have 30 seconds for the author or the guest to talk about whatever she wants to talk about, promote her thing. And she's uninterrupted, and it's all yours, Jane.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being on your show again, Brian. Thank you very much for having me. And thank you very much to Linda Langton for taking me on as my agent, and also for Headline Accent for being a publisher. And I'd like to thank all my readers and friends on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and around the world, and all those who buy the books and make it worthwhile for me to write them. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And don't forget, how can people reach you?
They can reach me on janerisden.com. I'm on Amazon. I've got an author page there. Facebook, Jane Risden Author, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and I can't think, LinkedIn. I'm on there, so just type in Jane Risden Author and up I pop.
And we have a part two. This is not the end. This is our audio portion. Next week, we will be doing face-to-face video like we promised you. I'm working on putting it on StreamYard so people on Facebook can see it live just right there. And you'll be able to see Miss Jane Risden and I face-to-face. And we're going to talk about more about her background and her music industry and working in the government. And we're going to talk more about her book coming out, Miss Birdsong coming out. And we hope you join us. It's always been a pleasure. It's always been a pleasure having you on here. I'm going to send you out with one of my favorite songs that I think of you when I hear it, okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much, Brian, and I'll see you next week.
I can't wait. I'll be dressed. I'm getting a new outfit. I'm getting my booty shorts.
I'm going to have to get out of my pajamas.
Yeah. Wow. It's going to be a hell of an interview. What an interview. Wow. They'll never forget this show.
Oh,
no. So, next week we got part two, and it's going to be very funny and interesting. Thank you, my dear friend, Jane Risden, everybody. I'm sending her out with my favorite song, and I think of her when I hear it.
Thank you.
Here you go, Jane, and have a great day. And we'll be back. What do you hear voices in your head, and what do they mean? And do you hear ghostly voices in your head? I have the answer. Here we go. And this is to Jane, going out to Jane.
The highway. Down.
is going out to Jane. What a wonderful person. I'm glad Jane's here because we have somebody here. Hello, Stanley, my little huckleberry.
I'm not your huckleberry. Stop with this. Stop it. I disclaim what he's saying. I am a man, and I'm not attracted to other men. Stop it. Stop it.
You're my
yes,
huckleberry.
You
my That's my friend.
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice. Did you
anyway.
Hear Jane? Was it
Good
Jane
to hear
Drake?
Your voice, too, champion.
Hey, it's
Hi.
My brother.
Hi.
That's
Hi.
Jane right there, Stanley.
I'm listening. Hello, Stanley.
Oh. That's a guest or that's a special person, Brian?
She's a guest, but she's also a special person. She's my friend. She's an author from the UK. There you go, Stanley.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah.
My God. You see, I told you. I told you. Oh, talking about the UK, I saw that you people are doing what's happening with the lockdown and everything in your country. I hear that a lot of you are coming out in the street and saying no more lockdown.
I think quite a few people have had enough of it, but we're gradually lifting lockdown, so there are different regulations between now and June the 21st, so some people can come out and go to bars and cinemas and restaurants now, a mix in households, which they couldn't do before.
Oh. Yeah. Do you still have to wear the mask over there, or do
yes.
you, because if you're, yes, okay,
yes,
even
do,
if
yeah.
you're vaccinated?
Yeah,
even if
I mean,
you're vaccinated?
I've had two jabs, and you still wear the mask, and you still socially distance.
Wow.
Because we've got an Indian variant that's come over from India, which is really vicious. So everybody's trying to be extra careful. Not good.
Brian, what did you think of your prophet Biden saying what he said? Either you have a vaccine or you wear the mask. That's it. That's all.
Oh.
Jane, Stanley yeah. is a Trump supporter, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He is. And he's very adamant about Trump.
Right.
How I feel about it, I've been vaccinated. I got my second
yeah.
Pfizer shot about 2 weeks ago. I'm fully
oh,
vaccinated.
Right.
So you shouldn't
yeah.
you shouldn't be wearing the mask anymore, Brian. So you're the hero. You should be going through every store saying, I'm vaccinated. I don't need the mask.
But
you
can still pass it on.
Go ahead, Jay.
You can still pass it on even if you've been vaccinated because it only protects you up to 97% not to get it as bad and die from it, but it also protects other people from you because you might be carrying it and not be ill.
Jesus.
Well,
yeah.
So what's the whole point of being vaccinated if you're telling
well,
me that?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jay.
Until everybody's vaccinated, nobody's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that?
Right. Jane's absolutely right. When you're the what I understand so far is if you're fully vaccinated, which I am because I'm a responsible adult, would it be is that it's not keeping you from getting the COVID virus. You still will get it. See, I think the COVID will be around for years. This is not going away.
It will.
What it does, it keeps you from getting ill, really ill, or going to the hospital. It protects you from that. It protects
yeah.
you from death, basically. And what it means is that even though I'm fully vaccinated, if I talk to you, Stanley, and you're not vaccinated, and you pass it to me, there's a certain level of COVID that I'm going to try to explain it. I cannot get to, even if you give me your COVID, that I've been vaccinated, I will not reach the level of being hospitalized or sick, the full impact for a person who is not vaccinated. I'm kind of protected. And and it's a slim chance that I would transmit it to you. So that's what the good thing about vaccination is what we understand so far. Now,
But do you think that
deal?
As American we should be do you think we should be forced to be vaccinated?
No.
Like our president is saying that either you're vaccinated or you wear the mask for the rest of your life, even if you go to the bathroom, even if you make love to your girlfriend, even if you're trying to touch something, you have to wear a mask.
Well, even before the COVID, me and my girlfriend role play, so I was Batman a couple of times, so she's used to the mask. I was a Long Ranger the other night. I believe in choice. I believe in choice. It's how a person feels, how one protects themselves. Here's the rule. If you feel unsafe, there's a way that you can make yourself safe by wearing a mask. If you feel fully vaccinated and you know the science, you act accordingly. It's a person's choice. I don't believe in this herd thing. I don't believe that we have to get people vaccinated. I don't believe that they get a beer if they vaccinate you or bribing them to get vaccinated. I don't. It's a warning sign to me. I think it's an individual thing, and it worries me to say, well, I got vaccinated. Why are we pushing all these other people to get vaccinated if I'm protected? If they choose not to be, they die, they die. So it kind of worries me. There's a lot of questions that kind of scare me. But you got to do what's right for you and how you feel safe, you know, what you believe in. So I do not
You won't be able to travel soon. I mean, you know, unless you can prove you've been vaccinated, there are lots of countries that won't accept you. So not getting vaccinated means that you can't go anywhere if you're not careful.
True. And that's... Exactly, true, and that's where I have a problem. What happened to freedom? What happened to this? Where if you, like you said, I agree with what you're saying, Brian. If you don't want to be vaccinated, that's your trade. You're going to die.
Right.
Anyways, but for you forcing somebody to say, if you want to go to my country, you got to be vaccinated, I'm like, that doesn't guarantee anything.
Well, you said it actually correct, and excuse my language, Jane. It's a big mind fuck. They're telling you... There's an option, please wear a mask, but we're not forcing you to wear a mask. But yet they're putting conditions that is forcing you to be vaccinated, meaning, well, you cannot go to a ball game or a park unless you're vaccinated. See, now you're forcing me to get vaccinated. You cannot go to this restaurant unless, you know what I'm saying? I'm giving you, you cannot ride an airplane if you're not vaccinated. It's going to get to that point. So they're forcing you to do it without telling you to do it, and it's wrong. And that's what bothers me, you know. They give you little perks. And all it does is just bring anxiety and division to people, because there's people with health problems, you know, asthma, so on and so forth, and medication and everything. And then the vaccine is not for everyone, because we're not absolute people. So we're entering something that's foreign to all of us. And I don't agree with everybody needs to be vaccinated, but I do agree with people's choice. And, yeah, Biden went overboard. I agree with you, Stanley. He went overboard, and it bothers me. Of course, we could go with Trump, and we could drink some bleach and put a UV ray up our ass. Yes, go ahead, Jane.
No, I said, Brian, Trump wasn't the smartest when he came to the way he did it also. He wasn't – he went to the other extreme of saying, like, oh, we shouldn't make people panic, so – he tried his best. I don't think he did everything. I don't know how I would have acted as president in that situation. Damn if you don't, and damn if you do. So, because as American freedom, it's very important for us. We're ready to do whatever we want. Because of the freedom that we have.
Well, I know in Canada they locked the whole country down. They locked it down. They've been locked down for a while. There's no visitors can go into Canada right now. I don't know if they can come out or not. This is what I hear. So, and then you're looking at India. I mean, look at the poor bastards there. I mean, you're looking there. So, there is no right answer. Only survival.
Yeah, but the problem, Brian, is that we want to come back to normality. We want to go back to, like you say, going to the cinema, going to theater, going to Broadway, going to those things that we used to take for granted, going to sports events. And the fear that you're bringing every poor not doing this in any way.
No.
It's, like you say, it's a clusterfuck.
It is. And I'd like to ask Jane this, too. And you brought up a good thing, Stanley, because I'd like to ask you this. See, my thing is the damage been done. You locked us down for a year. You've been giving us information, misinformation. You locked us down with fear. For the last year, we've been looking at death tolls and that we're going to catch the virus and we don't have enough ventilators and we don't have enough masks and it's Armageddon. for the last year you've been giving us these messages. And then all of a sudden they go, okay, you guys are cool. You can go run around and run amok. The psychological damage has been done, not to us, not only to us, but to our children for years. It's been done. They handled it completely wrong. And I'm worried about that psychological damage. And if people, when you say normalcy, I don't know if we can ever go back to it. Once the genie's out of the bottle, we're going to always have people wearing masks, even if it's going to be okay. I think it's going to have to be another generation. And I'm worried about our generation who's been experiencing that. The kid who's 8 years old, 9 years old, or the teenager, 15 years old, they're going to remember that there's been no touching. There's no hugging. There's no contact with another human soul. You have to realize the damage, the psychological damage that we all have because of this, and it's been handled the wrong way. That's what I'm more worried about. So I don't know if we can go back to normal. I don't know what is normal anymore. So
I agree 100%. The next generation doesn't even know socializing and everything. Thank God I wasn't born in that generation. Thank God. Going to club, they don't know. Meeting people, they don't know. Talking to other people, they don't know. They're on their phone, they don't know those things. They have no social skills. None.
Right. I mean, the worst thing that I experienced that I had to worry about is I got syphilis or the crap. I mean, now I look back and I'm saying, yay, because this stuff can damage your lungs, make you go blind, and you can't breathe. I'm going, well, the crap's not so bad. So it's kind of difficult. It's kind of difficult.
You know what, guys? I'm going to have to go because I've got to be somewhere.
Okay. On that note.
Look at the best bit.
Thank you for being in the show. We appreciate this. And say hi to UK people and continue to fight people to have your freedom also.
Oh, we have a lot of freedom.
I want normalcy.
Yeah. You take care. Keep safe and your family safe. And I'll talk to you, Brian, next week. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Jane Risden, everybody, the author of Ms. Birdsong Investigate. And the winner of our show. There you go. There she is. Look how beautiful she is. Look how she walked out. Look at that butt. There's no booty like a UK booty. That's nice. All righty.
I heard that.
You did hear that. Be safe, Jane. Be safe.
I'm going to press and call now.
Okay.
Before we get into trouble. Take care.
You
bye.
Got it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Cool. It is so nice to hear your voice, Danny. You're right. I don't know. Oh, look who else is in the studio. The marvelous Melissa and Stanley.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good
morning, beautiful.
Good morning, Stanley.
Are you happy?
What's on topic?
Good morning, beautiful. Good morning, the topic is the usual. The CDC saying we don't need no mask. Our president saying that either you get vaccine or you get a mask for the rest of your life, you know. So,
a mask for the rest
beautiful
of your life.
With your man, you better put a mask when you're making love to her
exactly.
and him. And you better put a mask when you're doing everything. Go in your kitchen, you better have a mask in your home. And you better have a mask in your driveway. You better have a mask for everything that you do or else you're a bad person. You're a bad person if you don't.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I guess we're faced with it. Everything we do, we think about it, right? If we go grocery shopping or anything, go to the store, whatever we're going to do, we're faced with it quite literally.
I think that, beautiful, I think they're really going to do what they say. They're going to tell you, do you have the vaccine? Yes. And the people who have vaccine won't have to wear the mask. And the people who don't, you better wear the mask. I truly believe it's going to come to that point.
I saw yesterday that there was some new studies that were done in the UK and that a lot of people that have had the vaccine, I can't remember which one, maybe it was AstraZeneca, I can't remember, have developed eye problems due to this. So you're kind of like, you know, it's kind of a catch-22. I'm just watching all the people that have been vaccinated to see what the long term is going to be for them. Or even the short term.
Brian has been vaccinated. Brian has been
mm-hmm.
vaccinated, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes, I have.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Brian, which one did you do? Did you take Pfizer? Did you have Pfizer?
Yes,
or which
I did.
One did you use?
I did Pfizer.
Or Johnson & Johnson. You did Pfizer?
No, I did Pfizer. I did Pfizer.
Okay. No complication? No nothing? No complication?
The you know, the first time I did it, the arm hurts. You know, you get the traditional arm hurting. I didn't experience anything my first shot. I mean, just the arm hurting. But then I was kind of cloudy. I felt like I was walking and I was foggy. I couldn't explain it. Short-term memory was not there. This is after the vaccination. Fatigue. Oh, my God, I was exhausted. I was exhausted for about at least 3 days. Just fatigue. I couldn't think clearly. And guess what? My sex life went away. I had no urge, Stanley. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. No urge. Nothing.
That is emergency, beautiful. No urge for Brian. That is
emergency.
Stop the vaccine.
It was an emergency. Believe me. It was a huge emergency.
Oh, yeah. That was true. Yeah. That's true. That's,
we can't take the vaccine. Brian has no urge of sex. Nope, stop the vaccine.
Yep.
No more taking the vaccine anymore.
Yep.
It's done. Pfizer's closing down.
True.
But it did come back. Just so the second time, same symptoms. But I experienced some mild headaches, and I don't get headaches. I don't get headaches. So I did experience some headaches on the second one. Of course, the fatigue. Sex drive, again, dead. And I did get it. I get my eyes got blurry, the second one. I got a little blurriness in my eyes. But then it went away, and it went away, and I'm okay now. I started to now think. This lasted.
Whoa. Stanley, what are you, in a cat fight?
No, I'm downtown. I'm watching tennis.
Okay.
I'm watching with
you. I heard,
Stanley,
no,
do you want to tell the funny story? Okay. Do you want to tell the funny story that you told me, or you want to keep it private? It was about your friend at the tennis club?
No, I know the owner of a tennis club and everything, and I went inside, beautiful, without my mask, and I almost got yelled like I was being the murder of the year.
Wow.
In front of everybody. I truly believe I was so traumatized.
Awesome.
I called Brian. I called Brian to make sure that it wasn't me. I was so traumatized. He yelled at me in front of everybody in the court and everything like I did the murder of the year. I looked at him like, I was like, what the hell did I do? Did I murder somebody? Did I kill somebody? What the hell is this?
Poor Stanley. It happens here too, Stanley. People will attack if you don't have a mask on. They'll just yell at you.
I don't know. I don't know why they're freaking out, but beautiful. They're freaking out.
Because they're scared.
I was traumatized. I had to call Brian, and Brian basically said, well, you know, Stanley, he talked me down and said, don't you forget, he's the owner of the business, and if somebody gets sick,
True.
He's in big doo-doo, big trouble. That's why. He's panicky. He has nothing to do with you. So I said, I appreciate it. Again, thank you, Brian, for saying what you had to say, because I freaked out when you said that. I was like, so.
Poor Stanley.
I know.
You know, I went to the grocery store yesterday, and I put my mask on, right, and before I went in. Okay. And Jillian had hers in her hand and forgot to put it in, and Oliver took it out of her hand. He was sitting in the cart, and he put it in her face. Like, he knew. Put this on.
Wow.
Yeah, he knows. I mean, that's all he's been seeing.
And that's what I was talking. That's what I was talking to Stanley about. That's what I'm more worried about, the psychological.
And he's only
problem.
Two, Stanley.
Right.
He's only two.
Will,
put it
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I even changed my habit now. Before I go out, I have to check. Okay, I have my keys. I have my money, I have my wallet, my cell. Where's my mask? Where's the mask?
Yep.
And if I don't have
the
mask, I'm not going
in the back of my car, Stanley. I keep a box of them in the back of my car. You know, not huge, probably like 100. So that, it's crazy. You don't know? I prefer the cloth ones, though.
Oh, there we go.
I have the same thing as you do, beautiful. I have the same thing as you do. I have a little box, and like you said, at home, that I have my keys, my stuff, and everything. And now my mask is my mask is added to the box also. So every day I have to, if I don't got those five things, I can't go up.
Yep, it's true.
Yeah, we're conditioned.
It's true.
Can you imagine?
The baby's
they
conditioned
did
already. Here you go. Put it on. Put it
that
on.
That is so. That's so sweet, but so sad because that's what I'm worried about, the psychological damage that we're not seeing, that these kids are the fear that the parents are saying, you're going to die if you breathe this air, don't touch your friend anymore, don't hug grandma, just the psychological fear that we put in our kids, and we're thinking they're going to be okay. I don't know the effect that will have later on.
Mm-hmm.
But, Brian, it's more than there's fear. There's nobody going to the cinema anymore. You can have the whole cinema for yourself. Nobody's going there. You can have
I know.
You can do an orgy. You can bring your girlfriend and do whatever you want. Nobody's going there.
Then you have an orgy at the theater. You can have an orgy there.
don't even start that. There's a guy that calls in, Jesse, that likes to talk about stuff like that.
Oh,
Damn, watch out. I forgot about Buddy. Yeah.
Well, you know,
Buddy would,
that's going to die. You know, back in the day, they had drive-ins, and then they went to Blockbusters, and then they went to Netflix. Theaters, the theaters were on their deathbed before this even happened. They were losing so much money.
Yeah.
So many independent theaters were going under.
What do we do? We watch Netflix. We watch Hulu.
Right. Know? Right.
Oh, and by the way,
the whole reason
great...
that everybody... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Steph. No, I just wanted to say how life changes, and it really showed me. I watched this great, you guys may not like it. It was a biography. It's a miniseries on Netflix about Halston, the designer.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
was just the evolution. Oh, my God. But anyway, women always, men and women, even to the 60s, everybody wore hats.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched something like that, and I'm seeing all things change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think as you get older, you see that things change. Do you know what I'm saying?
Beautiful.
He
had
to reinvent himself, Stanley, because women were not wearing hats. And that's kind of, you know what I mean? That's how he made himself. He's a hat designer.
Yeah.
And then he had to reinvent himself because they weren't wearing hats. So things change all the time, like Brian said.
It's a shame that we're losing our culture, things that we do in our pastime, things, you know, like the vacuum salesman, the guy who used to bring milk to your doorstep, you know, remember that guy, and blah, 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 we lose these things. And all of these things, we're bringing the personal touch. It seems we're getting more distant from each other, and with Netflix and Hulu and not going to the theater. I saw it. You know, to me, going to the theater was not so much the movie, but the whole thing going to the theater.
Pageantry.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The food,
yeah,
the popcorn,
it was sharing the feeling with other people.
Oh, yeah.
It was sharing the emotion or whatever happened in the movie. I'm sorry, when I went to see Avengers Endgame, the atmosphere was crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
You can't get that atmosphere when Captain America went to get them, that he was chosen, you know? Everybody freaked out when in the cinema when that happened. You can't have that feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
That beautiful. I thought about you.
I thought about you
and everything.
Was it good?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's a great TV story, and there's a great show that I think you should watch. It's called The Crime of the Century. It talks about the opioid and the pharmaceutical and everything.
I have
it's
it
It's a great show, man.
Where is that?
Crime of the Century.
I have it. Here it is. You brought this story.
Yeah, I think it's
an HBO.
Is it Netflix? HBO.
No,
it's great.
No.
The Crime of the Century. Wow.
And Stanley, that's horrifying, isn't it? It was horrifying. Basically what it is, I'll read the story right here. I have it. I thought about her too.
Okay.
Basically, it's Big Pharma, how they deceived people to get them hooked on opioids.
Oh,
And they knew it was bad. And they knew it was bad. And they created these opioids to hook people. It's a two-part series on HBO. It's called The Crime of the Century. Stanley brought it up. And Stanley, go ahead. Tell her about how you feel about it, and then I'll read a little bit of it. But
I freaked out. I thought about Beautiful. I said, Beautiful, gotta watch this. I was like, wow. They knew and everything. They basically did the same thing. They did the same thing as the pushers of drugs. They're doing the same thing as the pusher of drugs. I said they're trying to do it legally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's pretty sad, isn't it?
It's like getting the document. But they have the document, Beautiful. They have the document saying that they knew. They have the stuff that they say they knew. And they're like, I'm like, what?
So what do people do from here with that, right? What do they do?
Well, they're taking action. In fact, here's a soundbite. Here's a soundbite what they're doing.
Okay.
But they're getting busted now. That's the good news, right, Stanley?
Good.
They're busting them. People are talking.
They're busted because they have the document to prove that they knew. Before, they didn't have the document, Beautiful, so it was a rumor. But when that's the HBO special, like you say, The Crime of the Century, they have the document that says, now we have it. We have the document. Somebody in the pharmaceutical went to get that document and give it to the press. And they did that because without that document, can't prove it. And they have the document that proves that they knew. They knew the shit.
Well, here it is right here. Here's a little sample. According to I don't know if it's CNN, but anyway.
Did you put the trailer. Put a little bit of the trailer. Do you have it? Brian?
Can I get
the trailer?
Oh, okay. Good idea.
Yeah, put the trailer.
You would be a good producer.
Stanley's on fire today.
He's on fire, isn't he?
No, because I saw that. I thought about you because
Stanley.
You were so patched. You were so passionate about the opioid test, I was like, let me find out about it because I didn't know so much about it. But after seeing that, I agree 100% with why you're passionate about that. This is a total disgrace. It's a total disgrace
guys,
that they did what they did.
Brian knows this about – I can't even count anymore on my fingers and my toes of the people that I know that have overdosed and they have died. Children, Noel children, I'm going to say under 30. You guys don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
It is. It is nuts.
Yeah,
and
it's terrible.
Here's the trailer, HBO, The Crime of the Century. Here we go. And it got Stanley pissed off, so we know it's going to be radical. Here we go.
The doctors, and there was a representative of Purdue. She said, we have a drug called OxyContin. We pick up all the... I came out of the doctor's, and there was a representative of Purdue. She said, we have a drug called OxyContin. We pick up all the costs. Just take as much as you need. I said, sounds like a deal.
Within the last 20 years, more than 500,000 Americans have been killed by overdoses. Controlled-release OxyContin would be the drug that triggered the opioid crisis. But what if we discovered that the crisis... started with a crime.
When we talk about drugs like oxycodone, you're talking about drugs that are essentially heroin pills. Opioid makers started to promote their opioids for common chronic pain conditions.
Purdue didn't have any evidence that the drug was safe, so the company obtained the help of a medical officer at FDA.
This is the first time I've ever seen this. This isn't just unethical. I think this could be illegal.
Hundreds and hundreds of sales reps go out and meet with doctors and say, the FDA approved this. Big Pharma celebrated its marketing muscle, using parties to lure doctors to write scripts.
This was a new drug cartel. There were drug dealers wearing suits and lab coats.
Basically, here's some money, write some scripts.
Yes. I'm looking at this and I'm going, clearly we're breaking the law.
Purdue ends up getting pursued by the authorities. The company lied under oath. Ethics did not play a role. The companies took out their checkbooks and paid to keep the evidence hidden.
You are basically telling pharmaceutical companies you have a green light to do this.
It explains how America got hooked on opioids.
Doctors willing to be paid to prescribe the drug, those are the people that are going to get you promoted and eventually put you in prison.
The abuse exploded and spread like cancer.
When you're in that much pain and you're addicted to such a high dose, you're a trap rat.
When the companies didn't like that they were being held accountable, they decided to change the statute.
They should be changing their behaviors, not the rules.
People were dying by the tens of thousands, and their own representatives are basically selling them down the river.
If you talk to people whose lives have been touched, what does matter to a lot of these people is truth.
Of the century. That's on right now. That's on HBO. It's a two-part series. Also on HBO Max. It's a dangerous thing, man. And it's a serious thing.
Yeah. And I give 100% to Beautiful of bringing me that information, because I didn't know one bit about it, Beautiful. Because of you.
Yeah.
My God. I'm so scared of that shit.
Well,
how come none of them are in prison, Brian? How come? Are they going to go in prison? Or is a prosecutor going to do something about that shit now? Now we have the information?
Well, some people have went to prison, but again, it's not the main guys who are in prison. You know, it's the lower level guys, and they're in federal prison, which they call, Club Fed, when you go to federal prison.
Yeah,
Club Fed. You have to understand a word called lobbyists. These are the people who run basically our laws. These are people who go to the White House and they lobby. They lobby, you know, rules of drugs and guns and whatever. They're most powerful people. So I don't know if, you know, what they'll do is pay a fine, which is 10%, which is maybe 2% of what they earn that year. And they're hoping that the money will go to people to get off drugs. This is how it works. To put them in prison. They're too powerful.
Think about it now? With the COVID, it's so hard for anybody that's an addict to receive treatment.
It's a catch-22. There was a football player not too long ago. I don't have his name. I'm paraphrasing it. He was a good football player, quarterback. He had two good years. And he took his life last week. He was 35 to 40 years old now. But basically what happened is that he got hurt in football. While he was in football, you had medical treatment. Okay, when you get cut, you no longer have that insurance. He needed a painkiller. They stopped his painkilling. So his painkiller, so what he did, he took heroin, went to the streets, overdosed.
Sure.
So that's
you know
story.
Why they overdose?
Mm.
Because of fentanyl. That's why.
Yeah, they did find that's a lot why. Of fentanyl in his system. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's the killer right there.
You know what the big killer is too? Is mixing it with Xanax.
Oh, they knew another one. Putting it with Xanax and Klonopin and all anti-anxieties. Oh yeah.
Well,
that's why the documentary is so good, Beautiful. Because it explains everything that you're saying, Beautiful. It explains
Jillian,
it.
For
because
a
I didn't know that
estimate, how many friends have you lost or acquaintances? You think of Aaron Smith? You guys don't even, you have no idea. People that you wouldn't even think were using, right? You wouldn't even think.
Well, you know, I don't know when fentanyl came on the scene. I don't know. Maybe within the last 10 years. I don't know when it came on. 10 years, you would think? I don't know when it did. I have no idea. Because I did not hear anything about fentanyl.
When did fentanyl come about? Oh, I know somebody that overdosed with fentanyl many years ago.
Really?
Young kid. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Manny Ricks died in about 2008.
That was not in heroin then.
But he had was fentanyl.
That was fentanyl patch.
Who started to prescribe fentanyl was our doctors. China
right.
is the main manufacturer of fentanyl.
It was
supposed to
be for cancer patients and...
Exactly.
You know, people that were in extreme pain, that were dying or what, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they put it on the street. I don't think there's a drug that's on the street illegally that does not have a certain amount of fentanyl in it, including weed. I have to believe it. I don't know. I didn't do any research, but I do know that
fentanyl. Depending on where you get your weed, I don't think they're putting fentanyl in your weed.
No, I'm just saying street weed, not dispensary.
Mm-mm.
There's not
much street weed around anymore.
Mm.
Not around here.
But I do. But if you're doing cocaine, or back in the day you used to have
cocaine.
And yeah. I would have to think they're lacing some of that with fentanyl.
Yeah.
I don't know much about fentanyl.
Oh, yeah.
But it sounds like it's like a methadone. It sounds like heroin.
It's
stronger
methadone.
Than heroin.
No. It's a painkiller, but it's a heavy, it depresses the whole respiratory system. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Which most things like that do. It's nothing to mess around with.
The worst thing I think I have, my ex-girlfriend was addicted to Valium. I have no idea what that is.
That's an anti-anxiety.
Is that what it is? But it stopped my heart, basically. It stopped my heart because I kept taking the pill. I don't feel anything. I don't know what it was making you feel. I wasn't feeling nothing.
It's like, I don't know if they prescribe Valium so much anymore, but it's like Xanax or anything like that.
Wow.
And Xanax, those are not opiates.
Isn't done by heroin? Because that's what they said, that heroin does opium, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they make it from poppies. Afghanistan is the biggest grower in the world.
Jesus Christ.
I like poppies.
So basically they're drug dealers.
I'm not fun. I'm
kidding. They're drug dealer, Brian. They're fucking drug dealers.
Well, they always been. It's drugs. They even say it out loud, drug store. You know what I mean? Well, let's go to the drugstore. Basically, that's what it is.
Was supposed to heal you, you know, back in the day, to go to the drugstore, get antibiotics, or, you know what I'm saying, something, cough syrup or...
Right. But it is. But remember, I mean, back in the day, remember how much codeine they used to put in our cough syrup when we were kids? I mean, that shit was
I never had
codeine.
That.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And then they started putting it,
in Canada, you still can.
You can still
they
get
still
a lot
have
of
codeine cough syrup.
Codeine
in pills, too. Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. Over the counter.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah, my mother had a friend who was dual citizenship, and she'd always bring back cough syrup and the headache pills. And Yeah.
Wow, I remember that. And cocaine was in Coca-Cola, so we look how far we got. I don't know. Stanley, you're an athlete. You like tennis. I'm telling you something. You know, you get out there and you get your shoulder, you get a torn something on your shoulder.
Thank God I've never, ever had that problem. Thank God.
Mm.
I've never been hooked to that shit.
Me either.
I would have freaked
God.
Out.
Yeah, me either.
Have you ever taken an aspirin, Stanley?
Yeah, of course. Aspirin, yes, but never that thing that you're telling me if I have a pain shoulder that, oops, I got to take that painkiller for my shoulder if I'm serving. Thank God I've never went to that point.
Well, an aspirin is a painkiller. They call it a pain reliever.
They don't even know how it works. Yeah, they don't even
know
how it works.
But they call it
they don't know how the brain works.
They say reliever.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Reliever.
Melissa. Go ahead.
They don't even know how the brain works. They don't even know how it like aspirin, why it works, but it does.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
the thing
really
about it is they are drug dealers. And I said this before. You know, medicine is not to cure. It's to make you feel better for a period of time. Nobody makes anything to cure it. You're going to lose your base. It's like the aspirin. Every 4 hours. Well, why can't I just take it one time and heal for 12 hours? No, you're going to have to take it every 4 hours. It's not there to cure you. It's there to just relieve the pain. And we haven't had anything on the market to cure anyone of anything.
Oh, yeah, we have.
What? Name
one. Oh, yeah. Hep C.
Name one.
They have a new drug. If you're
Hep
a certain
C.
genotype, you can take it. And it will cure it.
What is cure
yep.
what?
I think it's called Hep C.
Oh, Hep C.
Is it?
Oh, okay. Hep C. Yeah.
Something with an H. So
yeah,
can,
no, you're right.
If you're
I
a certain
that.
Genotype. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but basically you get rich by people using your product.
I think it's called.
You get rich by people using mental illness. What do? We give them prescription. We give them drugs. We give them everything. We don't cure mental illness.
Yeah.
Forget about therapy. You know, I think that's go to therapy. He's a mentally ill person. You know, oh, let's give him enough drugs to sedate him so he doesn't have any energy to get out of the house. That's the answer, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know the problem that I have is I think the lies that they give the recovering addicts. And we have this Trump lie and all this kind of lie. We're not going to get into politics, Stanley, but I'm just using it as an example. One hand, we're telling recovering addicts, go to therapy, go to these group sessions. Here's a sponsor. We'll watch over you, blah, 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 blah. And the sponsor is usually more fucked up than they are, by the way. But anyway, but they're fucked up enough to know that this is where I've been, and you don't want to go there. No, because I'll tell you my horror story. Oh, Jesus, you cure me straight. Doesn't happen. It's a lie. It's a lie. All of it is a lie. Melissa could tell me. Melissa could tell you that these centers, we got them out here in California, the Malibu Retreatment Center. It's only going to cost you $20,000 a month. And if you have an addict, have them come here to Malibu Treatment Center. And Melissa had some bad experiences with some of these treatment centers. And a lot of them, I think, are bogus.
I never went to one. I've never been. I've never used anything like that.
Right.
But I dealt with it within my family.
No, but you know stories and everything about treatment centers. That's what I was referring to. You also worked in a nursing home at one time, and what they do with the old people is they keep them medicated. That's all we want to do is keep the old farts medicated. Nobody's – you want to go – physical therapy is them just getting out of their chair and sitting down. Nobody's interested in fixing anyone, and you can't. You know, it was Stanley, this is something you're not going to like about me, but I have to admit something to me. See, I cannot lie to myself. I can't. I could try to convince myself. You know, these people convince themselves. To me, convincing myself is lying to me. I tried to stop smoking once in a while. Then I came back. And a person said, wow, you came back, you started smoking cigarettes. And then I had to admit, I like smoking cigarettes. And that's something you don't want to admit to no one. No smoker is going to even say, I like smoking cigarettes. You just don't say that. And as soon as I admit to myself that I do like it, and it's not so much the cigarette, it's just, see, when I smoke, I'm outside, and it's a social value thing. It's like a drink when you go to a club. You may not be a drinker, but you have a drink. So I'm a sociable smoker. You know, I don't smoke in a closet by myself and hitting it and hiding and spraying my clothes. I like that. If you cut out smoking, I cut out my social life, and that's how I feel. I know it's sad, but I had to admit it for me to quit. There. And I know people out here are dealing with pain pills, and I see it all the time. What are you going to do, Stanley? Take away their pain pills? It's bad. Yes. They hooked us? Okay. So now what? What are you going to do? You're going to sue the pharmacy and say, okay, nobody gets any more Oxycontin, nobody gets any more volume, nobody gets any more of this and that. We're not going to regulate fentanyl. So what are you going to do with these other people who have already been hooked? Millions and millions of people. What are you going to do? And that's the problem that they're having, because the people got on these doctors and they say, you're prescribing too much. And the doctor says, okay, now I got to be careful what I prescribe. And the guy says, hey, doc, I need some more pills because this pain is awful. I can't prescribe any more to you because the government's on my ass. And that poor son of a bitch goes in the street and he gets tar heroin because the pain is so bad. So tell me, I know the problem. Tell me the solution. Stanley, tell me the solution. And Melissa, yes, they hooked us. Bad people. Now what do we do? Is the answer to don't prescribe pain pills or limit the pain pills that a person, I don't even know his threshold of pain is just outrageous? What do we do?
Yeah, possibly legalization. I don't know.
You're exactly right. Damn, Melissa, you should run for president. You are so correct. If you start legalizing, here's the thing, legalize heroin. I'm for it. I'm for legalizing heroin. Any drug on the market, legalize it. I'm for it. When
and don't
you legalize
forget what's
something,
making another big comeback, it's already been here, is meth.
Legalize meth.
That's another one.
Right. Because if you legalize it, you regulate it. And if you regulate it, you also have other things that will come up to counseling centers, hospitalization, health plans. You got more and more help coming to you without hiding in the shadows. See, that's what gets you. The hiding in the shadows is the shit. If you think the drug is bad, hiding in the shadows is twice as worse. It's twice as bad. As long as we have people hiding in the shadows about their drug use, we got a big problem. If you can regulate it, bring it out in the open, have things available for the person, make them feel like a human being and they're not like a piece of shit, we can go forward in controlling this system. That's far as I'm concerned. What do you think, Melissa? What do you think, Stanley? That's what
how
I feel.
Yeah, but it's a whole big system, right?
It is.
It's a moneymaker. It would affect the prisons. It would affect police work, right? Think about it. It's all money, money, money.
But we legalized marijuana here in California. That took the people off the streets. You know what that did? It took the people off the street. It took the dope dealers off the streets. If we legalize, I wish to God we get to a point where we can legalize prostitution. My God. And I'm not saying that because of, what the business is. We have so many women out there that's hiding in the shadows, being addicted, being shot up, being abused, being killed, being hurt, and they can't go to anyone else. And we have this person controlling their bodies, when and where and what to do. If we legalize prostitution, we can take that element out. And these women have a safe haven, and they can get hospital care, and they get other care, and they're protected, and they can run a business, and they get, tax exempt, and they can be a human being. We need to take the criminal element out of business, and how you do it is legalize it. I'm for legalizing heroin. Yes. Yes, legalize it. Legalize a lot of things. Because once it's
legalized,
you know
what's happened, though? As far as treatment goes, because of any kind of like therapy or group or outpatients or anything, everything's done on Zoom now. You aren't even getting seen as a person.
Right.
Did you know that? Because of the COVID.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. It's even scarier. There was a report yesterday at some of the schools in California. Of the schools in the United States. Okay, and some of the schools in the United States, they're holding kids back a grade. They're finding out that they didn't learn anything on Zoom class. They're behind. A lot of people can't read, so they're holding these kids back. And I said, don't punish the kids. It's the teacher's fault, because I've been hearing these horror stories that these teachers on Zoom don't really give a shit. They're not really teaching. So if your kid is not reaching the education that they should be, I understand, give them a little help, get them through summer school, but hold the teachers responsible for that and don't punish the child for holding them back another grade. That's where the investigation, but you can't, because the teachers in the United States, you have a tenure thing. It's almost impossible to get rid of a bad teacher if she's in tenure. It's almost impossible. Stanley, I talk so much. You're listening to tennis, and you're probably watching tennis. You probably muted yourself. So whenever you can speak, because I miss hearing your voice, my friend. Melissa's on a Be Right Back. Stanley is probably watching something where he can't talk right now. And I hope you enjoyed the interview with Jane Risdon. What a great author she is. The book's coming out. It's called Ms. Birdsong Investigate. That's a book that's coming out. She was a great guest. We are going to have part two next week. and thank you for coming in. Another part of the story is that, you know, there's some people out there, and we want to talk about it. Do you hear voices in your head? I mean, seriously, I'm not even joking. There are people out there that hear voices in their head. You have seen the reports about people hearing voices, and you've seen the movies and things, like, they're crazy people. These are people who are going to kill me. Not necessarily so. And there's other people who hear voices, and they think it's ghost. So they're hearing his voice, and they're thinking it's ghost. So do you hear ghost voices, too? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We have the morning crew in the studio. We got the Mr. Stanley, the elusive Stanley. Stan, the man, is in the studio now. We have the marvelous Melissa. She's in the studio now. We're going to take a little break right now. Stanley, don't you go away. And we're going to talk about, we're going to switch to our next segment because I'm looking at the time right now. Do you hear voices in your head? Are you worried that you're going crazy? And if you do, seriously, no joke, I'd like you to come into the studio because that's what we're going to transition to. 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. Do you hear voices in your head, and what does it mean? And do you hear ghostly voices in your head? And what does that mean? Do you think you're crazy? Well, we'll let you know in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson, and we are worldwide. And when we come back, the voices in your head will give you the answer. You're not going to believe it. All right, I'm going to send this song out to all you ladies out there. Be strong. Cole, you just came in, and this is when you check out because we're going to play a song in our transition about voices. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the voices you may be hearing in your head and see if you're crazy. We'll be right back. Since nobody gave me a song, I'm going to have to play one myself. All right, here we go. If you're not, this goes to authors, musicians, comedians, entertainment folks, whatever you publish, make sure you brand your name. Remember your name. You want them to remember your name, and we'll be right back with Voices in Your Head.
Me what you see, you ain't seen the best of me yet. Give me some. my ship, stop living in our zone. And those lessons was more than silver and gold. I'm letting it go, I'm living my life. I see it now, my name and life. I'm on my grind and it's not a game. I'ma make sure you remember my name.
Radio, Blog Talk Radio, for one in the morning. Thank you for listening.
We're talking about voices. Stanley, do you hear voices in your head? Melissa, some of them can't talk right now. Do you hear voices in your head? Okay. All right. Since they're busy, and I'm out of breath, let me take a deep breath because during the break, I went to get some air, and then I had to run up two flights of stairs. Hold on. One big exhale. Hold on. Women, you're welcome. All right. You know, normally, you would think you're crazy, the definition. Some people say schizophrenia. Some people say bipolar. Some people say dementia. Maybe you have PTSD. I don't know. Some people hear voices. Here's one definition. Hearing voices is common in some mental illness, such as bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and borderline personality disorder. But before you guys go there, listen a little bit more. But you can hear voices without being mentally ill. There you go. Such as when you're grieving, have you ever lost someone and you could swear you can hear their voice? You could swear you can do that. They're talking to you. You just lost someone. Well, it says here between 3% and 10% of the general population hear voices that other people do not. 3% and 10% of the general population hear voices. You got to understand how big that number is. I don't have the correct number, but let's just say we have 385 million citizens in the United States. Let's just say that. I don't have it with me, but let's say that. Between 3 and 10% of that population hear voices. Do the math. These are millions of people. Millions of people hear voices. Do the math. 3% and 10% of the general population hear voices that other people do not. This is according to the Hearing Voices Network charity. These are some of the questions. And then we're going to go to another thing that tells you about voices. So these are some of the questions people have. Why do I keep hearing voices in my head? And the answer, there are many significant reasons that you can hear voices. The major factor that contributes to this condition are stress, anxiety, depression, and traumatic experiences. These can cause you hearing voices. You may ask another question, what are the symptoms of hearing voices? Well, these are the symptoms. Some are associated with medical symptoms from hearing voices may include behavioral systems, delusions, emotional symptoms, hallucinations, or hallucinations, if you know how, mental problems, confusion, depressive. You can be very depressed. And you may ask, what is the disorder where you hear voices? What is it called? I never heard of this disorder before. It's called DID, D-I-D, which stands for Dissociative Identity Disorder. This includes the experience of hearing voices, medically referred to as auditory hallucinations. This is also common symptoms in several other mental illnesses, including schizophrenia, like I just said. It's a disorder and a bipolar disorder. And why do people hear voices? Well, I'll tell you why. There are several possible causes that may cause people to hear voices. traumatic incidents. Hearing a voice might be a result of a traumatic incident that occurred in early life of a patient, while hearing one or more voices might be the result of experiencing a dissociate disorder, DID. And you may ask, who is the voice in my head? Well, there's a song by Ashley Tisdale, and I'll play it. It says, Voices in My Head. It's her third album. And then and a couple more questions. Why can't I hear myself speak inside my head? An echoing in your head when you speak is caused by blockage in your ear canal or middle ear. Earwax builds up in the most common cause of ear echoing. Other causes include ear infection, sinus infection, fluid in your ear, or an object stuck in your ear canal. I think I have an object stuck in my ear canal. I have this problem, this mental thing. One time I was listening on my headphones, and I know they had those little things, those little rubber things or whatever, cushion things. And I pulled it out of my ear, and one of the things fell off, and I've been looking for it. I can't find it. I think it's in my ear. People are saying it's not in your ear. I don't know. Psychologically, I feel it's still in my ear. And how do you cope with hearing voices? Here's what you do. You wear an earplug in one ear. It has been shown to be helpful to many people who hear voices or on initial use. It can reduce voice activity by nearly 50%. The nurse may suggest experimenting to see which ear is more effective. Is hearing voices a sign of dementia? It could be. Hearing voices is a symptom of psychosis, which can occur in depression, dementia, bipolar disorder, or even fever. And who are the famous people that hear voices? Well, these are some people you know. Joan of Arc, Freud, Anthony Hopkins, Philip K. Dick, John whoever, Carlos Santana, Robert Schumann, John Forbes Nash, Zoe Wanamaker, and Charles Dickens heard voices. And last one, does everyone have a voice in their head? Everyone actually has three voices. By the way, you have three voices in your head. You didn't even know it. The one in your head, the one in your ear, wait, I'm sorry, three voices. The one in your head, the one you hear when you talk, and the one that everyone else hears instead. And there you go. And what do you call the voice in your head? Well, the hearing voices in your head is inherently a sign of mental health issues. There's a community of people on Reddit who can choose to create voices in their head called the Toll Palmersers. Their voices are called Tulpas, T-U-L-P-A-S. All right, now we're getting into the weeds. So bottom line, if you hear voices in your head, are you crazy? Did I even say it? In this article, you are. You're nutso. But there's another article that I like that kind of explains differently. Because there are some people who hear voices or people who passed away. They hear ghost voices. These are the people that do the seances, and these people who are spiritual people or tarot card people or gypsies, whatever you want to call them. Do they actually hear the voices? Or are they just putting you on? Well, here's the answer. So if you're one of these people that you think that you hear your grandmother who died 10 years ago, or a husband, or a loved one, or a child, and you hear the baby crying, you could all of a sudden, you know, you're doing cooking and everything, and it's really quiet, and you hear that voice. How many of us have been doing something, and all of a sudden we hear something, and we turn around, and there's nothing there? How many times does that happen? Well, we're going to get into the paranormal, and we'll end this subject. So are you one of these people that are hearing these voices? Well, here's the answer. Maybe some people watch too many paranormal documentaries and they become positive they hear creaking or moaning in the dark. But for others, hearing the dead speak out of nowhere is hardly the stuff of nightmares. And again, we're getting into the paranormal, the psychics, the tarot card readers, and my masseuse, who's Japanese, by the way, gives me a happy ending. I just threw that in. I don't know. I'm giving her a shout out. Oh, I still have that shout out. I want to thank Melissa. We did a call last week, and I put it on Facebook. Melissa was so funny. I want to thank Melissa for helping me with the prank phone call. And every Friday we will
do anything.
Be doing... Yes, you did. You were there. You made me laugh. You made a comment. It was funny. It was funny. There's a lot. Next week we're going to do another prank call. I'm going to call a Japanese massage parlor and ask for a refund. Let's see how that goes.
Okay. Oh, you know how that'll go.
You no more massage. Look, we'll see how that goes.
You crazy.
No massage for you.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Well, we'll see how that goes. But
where's
getting
Stanley
back
go?
To the, yeah. Well, Stanley's
Does
here.
Stanley,
well, Stanley, I know that he was at some kind of tennis club.
Yeah.
And I think he muted himself. He's still here. He didn't raise his hand. Let's check in with Stanley. Stanley, are you here?
Where's the king?
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes we never know what morning crew that will come in that will show up. But you do, Melissa. You always are.
I do.
You're the high bar. You're the high bar of the morning crew. No matter what the weather is, no matter what's going on and everything, Melissa calls in, supports the show. She's the morning crew, and I love it. Stanley has us on mute. So he's hearing the show.
Uh-oh.
And I'm
Stan
sure
Lee.
He'll talk. Mr. Our own little, and if you're into Marvel Comics, our own Stan Lee is in the studio. You get it? Stan Lee? Stanley?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Stan the Man. All right, here we go. So, Melissa,
we're
going to
go
into
the paranormal?
Yes, we are, because...
Laverne, call in. I know she's listening.
Who?
Laverne should call in. Laverne.
Oh, it's okay. Because I'm just going to read this.
Oh, no, she likes this. All right.
Well, you know, well, I'm just going to read this because I know they're listening. And I'm just going to run down some facts. So, Melissa, when you first came into the studio, I did not know you. You came in on a segment, which we had one of my favorite psychics, Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask Pat to come back on the show
Oberlin.
Oh, my
Oberlin.
God. Oh, my God. You're right. Pat Oberlin. Sorry.
Sorry.
And Pat is one of the best. Oberlin.
Yeah.
He's one of the best. I'm going to invite her on this week again, and it's been a long time, and she needs to come to the studio. Well, anyway, that's when I met Melissa. Melissa came in on one of our psychic shows. I didn't know who she was.
Yep.
She came in, she listened, she left. She came in again because I think we were doing a...
I think I had a reading. I think I did, right?
Yeah, you did. You had a reading.
Yeah.
And you said thank you, and you left.
Yeah.
All right. Now, but when Melissa came in, and I told Melissa this is no bullshit, because I thought Melissa is a medium, and I still think she's a medium. Sometimes she's medium well, sometimes she's raw on the air.
I'm rare.
I'm rare, baby. You're rare form. But I always thought that she had some kind of special talent in that. I know that Laverne, or I think it's Melissa, that's been interested in the paranormal a lot. So here we go.
Yeah.
Melissa, do you ever hear voices?
Yeah.
Seriously, when you're in that state of maybe a state of meditation?
No.
Or that?
No.
Nothing? You don't hear?
Nope. I'll be quite honest with you. Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Some people claim to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on the fence about that.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Because.
They claim to.
See, I want everybody to participate something with me, and I want to bring in a spirit. Let's see if it works, because I'm reading this, and I can bring a spirit. You want to participate with me? Okay. All you have to say is, the great spirit of West Virginia, I can feel your powers and your healing powers. And if we say that
three
times.
She lives in Virginia Beach.
Okay. I don't know the spirit world. I didn't get the address.
I'm helping you.
Okay.
I'm helping you.
The great spirit of Virginia Beach. All right. I'm going to say this seance. Wow. The great spirit of Virginia Beach. Do we feel your presence? Knock three times. Huh.
You're acting like a drunk man. Come on.
That's an inside joke.
That's an inside joke.
I have another drink. All right, let's try it again. The great spirit of Virginia Beach. We need to feel your presence. Are you here, spirit of Virginia Beach? If you're here, say something we won't recognize. Okay. We're not trying hard enough. Melissa, you got to help me. Okay. The great spirit of Virginia Beach, we will speak your spiritual tongue.
Beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 beep.
Can you hear me? Are you there? Don't you Yes, I feel the presence. I feel the presence, the greatness.
You conjured her up.
I conjured her up. Good morning, Laverne.
Good morning, Melissa. Melissa summons me.
I did. But I didn't text you or anything, did I?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't text you or call you or anything. I didn't text you or call you. No.
I know. I heard you say Laverne call in. I wish Laverne would call in.
Yes, she did summon you.
And Brian said, oh, leave her alone. She's nesting.
I don't want to make you angry, spirit. He stole things to break my dishes.
You don't want to do that.
I know. Exactly. You break my dishes. Oh,
nope.
My God. And speaking of spirit, let's see if we can do one more. Let's see.
King Webb.
Let's see. Well, let's see. I call on you, Satan. Bring us your champion from New York.
Oh, God.
Is he here?
It's the original Satan's Rosemary's Baby. He's here.
The original Rosemary Baby. The Omen. We summon you,
yeah.
New York. Are you here, Spirit of New York?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm over here. What are you guys doing over there?
Yeah, there you are. You're over here. How's the weather down there?
Yeah.
75
yeah.
degrees.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice here, too. We're having a nice day call. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, is it Miles or Cole today? Or is it Damien?
It's Damien.
You talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, before we get into that, here's a little thing, because Stanley brought it up about the pharma. Here's a little thing on CNN that they ran with the drug thing before we get into the spiritual thing, because we're going to go there next. Here we go.
Bankruptcy. The company makes OxyContin, a drug fueling the opioid crisis. The filing is part of the framework for Purdue Pharma filing for bankruptcy. The company makes OxyContin, a drug fueling the opioid crisis. The filing is part of the framework for settling 2,000 lawsuits filed by state, local, and tribal governments. The company used aggressive and allegedly misleading sales tactics to push millions of doses of dangerously addictive pills. The incentive for a settlement grew after Johnson & Johnson was found liable for $572 million in damages for similar marketing practices in Oklahoma. Purdue Pharma had already reached a tentative deal worth billions, but many states rejected it, saying it didn't go far enough. This weekend, it was revealed authorities identified about $1 billion in wire transfers by the Sackler family, which owns Purdue. New York and other states allege the family is moving billions offshore to protect their wealth.
There you go. That's the crime. That's what happens.
Yep.
You know, what's interesting about that thing that a lot of people hope you caught, I posted something about Viagra on my Facebook, and I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but they were saying some of the things about Viagra when it first came out. Viagra was not supposed to be Viagra. It was supposed to be another
Heart medication.
The heart. Very good, Melissa. Yeah. Yeah. But they found out that it can cause erectile problems. Cured.
No,
and
it
can make
with
more
it.
Money.
It helps with the hard on. Uh huh.
Right. Well,
but
these
don't
are some
get priapus. Yeah.
Right. And these are some of
you
the
know what
stories.
That is?
I heard it, Melissa. But if you'd like to go into detail, let people know.
It means an erection that won't go away, and you have to go to the hospital and have treatment. That was one of the side effects.
I'm not going to hospital. I'm going on tour. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Let's see if you guys catch what I'm really saying here. Thank you, Melissa. And it's not good to have an erection that won't go away. Cindy has that problem. I go in there and she goes,
really?
Go away. Okay. Yeah, I guess I have to call the doctor.
Poor
Doc,
Cindy.
She won't listen to me. But anyway. Hey, they're free jokes. What do you want? You want the good stuff? Pay me. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can catch what I'm saying here. Okay, let's play the game.
All
right. There's a certain common thread here. See if you can catch it.
Yeah.
These are the 10 things that with Viagra, horror stories that people are taking Viagra, okay? Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
As a man gets older, they can sometimes have trouble. Okay, getting up, blah, 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 blah. When Viagra first came out, it was linked to 522 deaths the first year it was on the market. Yet men still used the drug. 522 deaths when it first came into market. Sometimes, however, the risks that can go along with taking Viagra usually are far worse than death. That's what they said. What they said.
Far worse.
Far worse.
So you're better off dead,
this happens
right?
to a man. Hmm?
Better off dead. Go ahead. I won't interrupt you anymore.
Oh, no, no, no. I like it when you interrupt me. This happened to a man. He was taking Viagra. He was in Korea at my club. He took some pills. And what happened is he started to lose his mind. He stripped off his clothes. He got completely naked. At some point, he started defecating. When security guards tried to restrain him, he then threw poop at them.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
What's
Why
his name? Miles
stories?
Del Rey?
Yeah, Miles Del Rey. He threw it. He threw poop at him. It took, he acted so crazy that it took six men to hold him down. He eventually snapped out of it. And he doesn't seem to remember the experience at all. He took Viagra. Hang in there. There's a thread. See if you guys can pick it up. These are horror stories. This happened to Hugh Hefner. He went deaf taking Viagra. And he knew he was going deaf. But apparently his hard-on was more important than his hearing. To a point where he went totally deaf. And they were able to confirm that it was caused by Viagra damaging the inner ear. Nobody's guessing it yet, right? Remember, there's a common thread here.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, there were hundreds of other cases of men going deaf while they were on a pill. Come on. The evidence was inconclusive. Hatch said he'd rather have sex than his hearing, and other men might feel the same way. You guys, there's a link. Come on.
Okay.
Here's another one.
They're
losing their hearing. They're losing their mind. There was a British couple. The guy was taking Viagra. The guy
and his name was Buddy.
Without his Viagra pills.
Mm-hmm.
So his wife suspected he was cheating, so she counted the pills. She knew her husband could not perform without taking the pills. So when she counted the pills, she knew one was missing. She knew that there was one less pill than before. It meant he had sex with another woman. Sure enough, after continuing counting the pills, her husband, Richard, was caught cheating, and they separated. Okay? Now, they got back together again.
Right.
They mend their ways, and you would think everything would be okay. Well, here's what happened. They got a divorce, then they got back together again. Then they're saying, okay, we're going to repair their marriage. We're going to work things out. So Richard, their husband, called another woman. He brushed her off as just a friend. Well, mm-hmm. his wife, who got back with him and they're trying to make the marriage work, her name was Georgina, she snapped because they're trying to make the marriage work, and here he goes again. Now, Richard just called a woman. It was his friend. It's just my friend. What are you doing? She snapped. She picked up a hammer and smashed her husband's head in.
Oh, my God.
They do. There's a common thing here. Then she drove one of the sports cars to a cliff intending to commit suicide. Okay. She was caught instead and was ultimately sentenced to life in prison for his murder. Viagra.
Oh, my God.
Come on, you guys. There's a thread here. I'll read one more. In January, there was a 27-year-old American man named Steve. Steve Cho, C-H-O. Cho. There's a lot of jokes. I'm not going there. He was sitting in an airport in Thailand, and he waited to board the plane to South Korea. He always wanted to join the Mile High Club, so when he got on board, because he started taking multiple Viagra pills while he was waiting in the waiting area. But those pills didn't just got Choi aroused. He started to lose his mind. He stripped off his... Oh, I already read that one. He stripped off his clothes and he defecated on the plane. Okay, the common thread here, you guys, is... Oh, here's one last one. After realizing they could eat... Okay, here we go. The people who are... Okay, the next story is about Viagra. Well, it's not about Viagra, but almost. But it still shows the length that men will go in order to get an erection. In Nepal, N-E-P-A-L, people living in remote areas didn't exactly have access, thank you, to a pharmacy mm-hmm. around the corner. So what they did was they started eating this fungus called, okay, here you go, Melissa, Yarsogumba, Yarsagumba.
Ashwagandha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yarsogumba. Mm-hmm.
Spell it. Spell the first five letters.
Y-A-R.
Mm-mm.
S-A-G-U-M-B-A.
Yarumbaga? I don't know. Haven't
okay.
tried that one out yet.
Well, it grows on dead caterpillars. That's what it does. For some ungodly reason, someone decided to eat it. Who does this shit? Hey, Bob, look. Ugh, dude, that's a caterpillar. Yeah, what's that shit on the caterpillar? I don't know. Let's eat it. Okay, people eat it. Well, this guy claimed
Melissa,
that he gave him an erection.
I said, Melissa, was she sure it wasn't her? Because she said she hadn't tried it yet.
I haven't tried that one yet.
I heard that. I heard that, too. I heard that, too. I was going to move on, but thank you for catching it. I wasn't going to say anything. Well, this is the last one. Here we go. So what happened was they began eating this stuff to help people have sex with their wives. Men began foraging to stock up on their supplies. In 2011, two rival groups of foragers, F-O-R-A-G-E-R-S, foragers.
Yeah, they came that
face.
Means collecting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They came face to face and they began to fight over the Yarsogumba. One gang was larger than the other, so 19 men beat and killed each other. Seven men from their neighboring village. The murderers were prosecuted for their crimes. So there you go. Okay, the common thread here. When it first came out, 522 people died. This drug was not meant to be an erectile drug. Is meant to help, like Melissa said, your heart, but they decided they could make more money on this. The name of the company was Pfizer. That's the common thread. The name of the company was Pfizer. Pfizer was also had a lawsuit. Was it the baby powder that it had gave women breast cancer?
Johnson powder, yeah.
Oh, that was Johnson & Johnson. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now we're getting a common thread here, right? Johnson & Johnson's been sued over a woman's product that gave them cancer. They were on the market. They knew it. Paid millions.
Of course they did.
Pfizer also is in trouble with the lawsuit and all this other stuff. What do they have in common? Well, these are the people that were trusting with our vaccinations. Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, so on and so forth. That's the common thing. Think about it. Think about it.
Now, the common thing, the common thread is they can't be trusted.
Right. There you go. There you go. Now we go into, and we're going to end it here because I know people do hear voices. Laverne, do you hear voices? Do you ever hear voices?
My own.
Okay. And what does it say? What does it tell you?
It tells me whatever I asked it.
You're kind of demanding on your voices. My voice tells me what I say. Okay. I don't know. I do some meditation and everything. Do I actually hear voices? Do I talk to myself and I hear it? Well, here we go. Some people hear ghost voices. Do you believe it? Melissa, Laverne, and anybody else, Miles and Stanley left. But do people hear, can you hear the voices from the dead? Is it true? Do you think people do? You guys?
I think they can.
Okay. Well, here we go.
Have I? No.
Right. Many people, they think, okay, here we go. Some people are more likely to claim they literally hear the voice of the dead, meaning they actually hear the sound of a voice that originates inside of our outside of their own head. The voice that originates inside our heads and outside of our heads is known as clairaudience. Clairaudience.
Yeah. Clairaudience.
Mm-hmm.
Not clairaudience.
That's what it's known. Okay.
Clairaudience.
But you. Mm-hmm.
Clairaudience. That's what it's known. This is a phenomenon that has been linked to certain predispositions by new research. This includes experiences of auditory hallucination or high ability to hear them. Because most clear audiences claim the voices are positive and can be controlled, understanding where they come from. And it can help scientists figure out how to approach certain mental illnesses that cause negative audio. Auditory hallucination. Here we go. This is why religion scholar Adam Powell was interviewed about self-proclaimed spiritualist mediums who experience clear audience as part of a university hearing a voice project. So they found that one of the most dominant things and people who are supposedly be clear audience, they have the tendency to get so lost in doing something you just forget about everything else around you. We saw a very strong connection between absorption and both hallucinations and the frequency of hearing from the dead. Powell, who recently led a study published in Mental Health, one possibility for this connection has to do with a person's ability or tendency to direct their attention to stimuli and experiences that are internal or external and to be able to identify them as such. Okay, so what we're saying here so far is that you're crazy. This is what he's saying, mental health. Every time mental health comes into it, we're thinking mental illness. But it may not be true. It says here, imagine being so into reading a book that you almost feel you exist in that outer world. Being highly enthralled in something like that, Paul believes that those who believe they hear ghosts talking to them may possibly be going through the transformation of internal thought into eternal experiences. More subjects heard the voices inside their heads as if someone was speaking directly into their ear than outside their heads. Like a mysterious echo from across the hall, both cases are still scientifically as an externalization of thought that could have started in the subconscious. So they're saying you're not hearing ghosts. What you're hearing is your own outer thoughts. That's what you're hearing. You're not hearing somebody from the dead. You're not hearing any spiritual thing. It's your own voice that you're hearing. That's what this guy is claiming. And it starts in your subconsciousness.
And I believe that in some cases. But what I believe everybody have experienced before them hearing someone call them, and you look around and no one there, or you're answering your cell phone and no one's there. I think it's both. I think it's possible that it could be both the from the spirit world and yourself.
I could be. Because what you just said, it backs up this. It says, most chilling of all, if a ghost is not actually floating right there and whispering in someone's ear, could it be that the person is hearing a voice from another realm far beyond the grave? That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are saying about mediums. Say, what these mediums, I believe Melissa is a medium. I really do. And I think Melissa has a little secret, and I know Melissa's from this planet. And she's going to say, you know, some of the things I believe and some of the things that I experience, I'm not going to tell you guys. You guys are idiots. You know what I mean? I don't need to be judged by you guys, and you will label it crazy because you don't understand, and she'll keep it within. And that's normal to protect herself. I happen to believe I happen to also believe, as Melissa's a medium, I think Laverne's a portal. I think it's like a travel, they have a travel tour thing. You know, it's like, okay, you want to make your reservation to the real world. First you got to go through Laverne. She's like the tour guide, and make sure you got your papers and everything, and then you can travel into the real world. She's open for it. When I mean that, and I don't mean it negatively, I mean it is in a great way, is that she's open, she'll look at it, she's not closed-minded. Now, like you Catholics or Catholics, I think Melissa has this ability to reach within her inner self, and I do think she has some spiritual powers. I always say she does. I will agree with that. But anyway, that being said, let's see what time I have. Okay. That being said, is there such a thing? And this story goes here. It says so many questions. Say what these mediums are hearing is the real deal. Could that mean spirits tend to follow psychic mediums around? How many of the clairaudient subject lives near a place with a reputation for being haunted? What about when an unnerving percentage of people, even those who swear up and down there are no such thing as ghosts, who visit a haunted place all end up hearing strange noises? The most chilling of all, like I just read, if a ghost is not actually floating right there and whispering in someone's ear, could it be that that person is hearing a voice from another realm from beyond the grave? Well, and the scientists are saying, well, we're uncertain about that. We don't know. It's a gray area, at least for now. Out of the reach of science, however, what can be studied could open a portal into a world that, at least for now, only exists in ghost stories. So that's the story. Bottom line, if you're hearing voices, see, here's what I'm thinking. See, I played sports. And before I took a match or before I went anything, I psyched myself up. Psyching myself up is saying, you're the best, you're this and this and this. So I'm talking to myself. So some people say, you're crazy. So if somebody's hearing voices, I'm not going to say you're crazy. Now, if it's a dog and his name is Sam, ignore the voice, please. It's not good for you. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Melissa does. The song, is it David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, who heard his dog tell him, his dog used to talk to him, and he went to kill people? So just be careful. And what does this resolve? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. If you're hearing a voice, it might be your inner child saying, is it time for me to come out of the corner and time out? Let's do naughty things. I hear voices all the time, and I do naughty things. And I like that guy. When he leaves, I get lonely. So I don't think it's a good thing. Science is not everything. So.
And science, let me ask you this. Is it true that science only go by what could be seen, heard, measured.
Mm-hmm. And documented.
Right. So they are scientists, so they can't really, once they get into the spirit world or trying to tell you what's going on there, they're out of their element.
Mm-hmm.
They're not no longer scientists if they go in that direction. And to me, and just to me, that science and spirituality don't mix, because spirituality goes into things that's unseen, and scientists go by things that are.
I agree with you 100%. Science, science and religion are not the best friends in the world. Science don't believe in faith. They believe in, there's always a reason for it, or sometimes you just got to have faith. A lot of scientists don't believe in God because, again, they don't have proof
exactly.
that God exists. So
right.
you got to, and if you believe, and I go with Laverne, if you believe in God, you are a spiritual person. Whether it's the being of God, there's different forms of God, but if you believe in faith, science does not agree with you at all. So that's all I can say, and I agree with Laverne. So there's some things that you cannot explain because we don't know enough
mm-hmm.
to explain it. So science is limited, and they're collecting data. That puts us back to what's happening now with the pandemic. We're getting people vaccinated, and right now we're studying them. We're studying their behavior. We're studying what can go on. This is what science does, because they don't know what's going to happen in a year from now. That's science.
Yeah, things are always changing. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But people who are faith people are going to church and they're praying and they're doing this and doing the right thing and keeping themselves safe, building up their immunity and blah, blah, blah. Science don't like that. Science do not like you to think out of the box. You think out of the box, you are a crazy person. This is what science tells you. If you think out of the box and become an individual and be creative with your thinking, you are now mentally ill. That's what science will tell you.
That's true. And I have often thought about the people that we do label as crazy and putting them in institutions and all of that. For one, we label them as crazy because we can't understand what they're experiencing. Two, they are hearing these voices from somewhere. They got
right.
to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they may be, like you said, in another realm. You know,
mm-hmm.
mentally they're in another realm at the time. So I don't even really want to label them as crazy. They just
mm-hmm.
can understand and see stuff that I cannot.
That's true. I think we should put Cole into a beaker and experiment on him. See how he
mm-hmm.
reacts with human beings and everything. And on that note, I want to thank
yep.
the lovely Ebony Queen Laverne for coming into the studio from Virginia Beach. I want to thank her for coming in. I want to make sure I say Virginia Beach for now on, not West Virginia, because somebody, you know what I mean? They get a little upset. Wow. Talk about division.
Virginia Beach.
I know she does. She gets so upset. I want to thank the Ebony Queen for coming into this studio. It's rare that she comes in, and when she does, it's always great. I love to see her. Laverne, everybody, that's Laverne. And be nice to Laverne. I'm going to give her a little cheer. There you go. And then I also want to thank Stan the man, for coming in today. Stan Lee
mm-hmm.
came in the studio today.
Mm.
Thank you, Stan Lee, for coming in. Yeah. Morning Crew A-Team was in today. I want to thank, of course, the magnificent Melissa, who enlightens me, who teaches me things. And she does, and gets me in trouble. Melissa, thank you. I want to thank Oliver and Sean Jr., too, soon to be the Morning Crew. I also want to thank Miles, and I want to thank him. He was very quiet today. There you go. Thank you, Miles, for coming into the studio.
Can I say, Melissa?
Sure.
Melissa, you do brighten. You brighten the Brian. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to Melissa, and taking from nobody else. But Melissa, you brighten my day when I hear you on the radio. And you're very much needed and loved. And I think that you and Brian makes a great pair. Your chemistry has worked so well together.
Yeah.
And
I would
also like to thank you.
Wow. There you go. Yes, that is true. She is absolutely right.
You're welcome.
You are such a crumb snatcher. You really are.
That's me. I'm crumb snatcher with you on the beach.
There you go. Well, before we go. Before we go, I got to thank our guest to come in. I want to thank Jane Risden, the author of Ms. Birdsong Investigates. Thank you for coming in. You were a great guest. I will see you next week with your new book coming out, Ms. Birdsong Investigate. She's a good sport. And that's it. Cole, I already
thanked
you.
I know. Thank you.
We all thank you because
the man that makes it possible, right? Yeah.
Yes. Wow. And his voice also brighten up people's days.
Oh.
Yep.
Well,
I
want to
give you a compliment. You're going to be surprised.
Thank you. Yes, Melissa.
I had you on speaker earlier, and Jillian said, I could listen to Brian's voice all day.
Oh.
She did.
Jillian.
And she doesn't compliment anybody.
Really?
She did. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, Jillian. Yep. Look at that. All I said, if I had Jillian for the weekend, my fantasy is to bring her out to California, treat her like the lady she is, give her everything she wants, and then pick her brain of the best pharmaceuticals.
I know.
And don't bat in the Viagra either.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't buy
Viagra. You that weekend, yes.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no. In fact, I make Viagra excited. But I would pick Julian Brain to be the best farmer. I mean, just give me the weekend and just tell me how to nurse this and plant this and grow this. I mean,
she's pretty good at that. She really is.
Yeah, she is amazing.
Her new thing is taking care of wild birds out here.
Really?
She's attracting all these birds out here with different kinds of food, and she's got mealworms that some birds are attracted to. And yep.
Yeah, those are good things, except they leave a mess. But, yeah, I
we
mean,
have a
she's
feeder.
Really
yeah.
She's really talented.
Yeah, she's like that.
She's really talented. And, man, she could change the world. And I'm not joking. Cindy got a thing. She just did it, and I thought about you, too. And I gave it to her a gift 2 weeks ago. I thought it was a chia pet. I really did. So she opened it up. I go, oh, you open up your chia? She goes, it's not a chia pet. It's one of these things that you can grow your parsley. You can grow your own stuff like parsley, and they give you the soil and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she started to do it, and she's just got into the habit, and she put a little section where she's growing her own little parsley and stuff like that. She's eating natural. I said, you know, I could grow marijuana. She goes, yeah. I go, that would be cool. Okay, I could contribute. I can put my wheat next to your stuff. And she goes, yeah. And then I started thinking, they don't sell seeds anymore. I mean, when I was a teenager, when we used to buy marijuana, I used to complain because
there'd
we used
be
to be
seeds
stems
in
and dirt and
yeah.
seeds. You know, they would pop.
Yeah.
They don't put seeds anymore. I just thought of that yesterday. I'm going, my God, you go to the dispensary. There are no seeds. There are no seeds anymore.
I have
anymore.
A Ziploc bag full of seeds.
Do you really?
Jillian. I'm sorry, 5-gallon bucket.
Oh, my God, you'd be rich. Because you know how much they're going for, Melissa? You're not going to be. So Cindy decided to look it up to see if anybody's selling seeds. These seeds are going for $189 for 16 seeds. For 16 seeds. That's what they're going for.
Oh, Mike's got a good-sized bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Do you know how much they're going for at these dispensaries? They're selling these seeds, $185 for 16 seeds of marijuana. Yes.
I'm rich.
You cannot get anything less than that. Cindy goes, well, there's a bargain here for like 20 seeds for $87, and that's a bargain. Because nobody's selling the seeds in a dispensary. But you have to get them somewhere else. Yeah. They are so – you realize how – people are looking for these seeds because you can understand that you got a good strain, right? And you have your seeds. You're messing up their business, their profit. Are you kidding me? If you grow your own, you're messing. You lose a customer. They're not giving seeds out anymore.
It's not 5 gallons of seeds. I'm sorry. We've got a Ziploc bag. Pretty good. No. Somebody gave
it to her. You probably got about $2,000 worth of seeds there. I'm not kidding you.
We went
looking. No, go ahead. Let me see. I'll put it in here. The price, go ahead and Google it. You'll be so surprised because I was going to do it, you know, as a little pet project, see if I could do it.
Yeah.
And I needed some seeds. And so I realized, oh, my God, I've been going to – I got no seeds. And then she looked it up, $185. I mean, these seeds are expensive, really expensive. So look it up, the price of a wheat seed, and you'll see. You guys got a gold mine there. You'll be so surprised what they're going for. Let me see. I'm trying to do it really quickly as I talk to you. Okay, here we go. The price of wheat seeds, cannabis seeds, $15 per seed. This one.
Oh my God.
Cannabis seed.
Wow.
And it depends on what strain you got. Some is going for, you're not going to believe, $67, starting at $67. They're in stock now. How many seeds do you get for $67? Five. You get five seeds for $67.
What? Five seeds for $67. People are buying weed.
Five seeds. And that's a bargain. That's a bargain. They're going as high as $195, depending on what strain it is.
She wants to come in here with some science.
Mm-hmm.
She said people would rather buy clones because with seeds you don't know what sex you're getting.
Mm. Well, I don't know.
So it's
all
an
I can say
game.
Is I was going to look for some seeds because, see, the legal states, you're allowed to have three
but
to six
plants.
But
she said be careful. Because you don't know
what's happened.
Right. Yeah. Because the females, what is it? What?
So what is, how do they do a clone?
How do they do a clone, Jillian? You pull a leaf off of it.
See how smart she is?
You dip it in honey or rooting powder.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And you just plant it.
Wow, you plant the leaf.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
This one is you could buy 10 seeds for $20. This is a cheap one for indica or sativa.
And like she said, they could be lying to you about those seeds, what they are.
Right. You're absolutely right. But people are doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what you're doing. See, Jill knows. But this guy
she
is
said
selling
you can't
seeds.
Sex seeds.
Huh?
The sex has everything to do with the way they grow.
Right, because you're separating the male female. They don't grow together, right? That's what I always heard.
Right. One plant grows buds, the other plant oils and hemp. It's all. Let's be honest. I know people are going to hear this. Before it was legal, she was part of a illegal growing business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she learned how to do this, I don't know, she was about 14 when she
wow.
started.
Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Well, how can you tell a male from a female?
Dillian, how can you tell a male from a female plant?
You have to turn it over on its back.
Yeah. The females have little hairs on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Little bit, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. That used to be her life.
This guy is selling, and he claims it'd be Sativa, $225 per seed. $225 per seed.
Wow.
He claims it's a Sativa. And, no, I understand it, but think about it, Melissa. Seriously, let's just say you got something really good strand. Look, really good strand, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of it as like a racehorse, right? I mean, what do they do with racehorses, you know, after they retire? They take them out to stud, right? And, I mean, his semen, that horse's semen is worth a lot of money because they want that horse's DNA. I'm thinking the same thing. If you think it the same thing about weed, right? If you had a great strand, I mean, Joe could probably be more, you know, knowledgeable than I can. But I'm thinking if you had a great strand and you got some seeds and you have the capability of duplicating that strand, I mean, in the long run, you can make thousands and thousands of dollars compared to $225 a seed. And then you have that strand. I mean, you have it forever, right? Because it'll grow. And then you take that and multiply it by that. What do you think? So I could understand the seed. I mean, am I wrong here? I mean, I'm seriously, am I wrong?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I can understand it that way. Like we say, okay, my God, it's expensive. But if you had the talent as Jill or the knowledge as Jill has, and if she had this beautiful strand and she had seeds, my God. That's a future investment, right? I can understand it on that level. Well, there you go, everybody. That's knowledge. This is what this show does. It gives you knowledge about weed and mental illness. That's what I'm here for.
And ghosts.
And ghosts.
Ghosts.
Yay for ghosts, mental illness, and weed. Yeah. Thank you. That's why I love my audience. They encourage me to do bad things. And that's it for the show, guys. And thank you for the compliment, Jill. And I can listen to you all day, too. Thank you so much. That's a great compliment.
Mm-hmm.
We're back tomorrow. I mean, it was a great compliment, Jill, that you said that you can listen to my voice all day.
Yes, she did. She's right here. Did you say that, Jillian?
She's giving you the
you
side
eye.
You
can listen to Brian's voice all day. Mm-hmm. She did. She's right here.
Well, on that note,
Jill doesn't give compliments to anybody.
I know. On that note, I'm going to take the compliment and I'm going to start a business. Now introducing Brian's soft voice for your entertainment. Hello. Hello.
But Melissa, we been telling him that all along.
Yeah.
We're doing videos.
Yeah.
All he need is his voice.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting there, kiddo. Next week, I'm getting there. And don't forget, we have that little project with Melissa, myself, and Laverne. It's a little project that will come true. We're not going to tell you anything because you bastards steal everything I do. But I hope that I've been working on it. So. You have seen me working on stuff that I'm doing. You see the trailer to promote our guest, and I'm also working on our secret thing, which will be revealed soon. Dun, 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 dun. Yay for revealing.
Yep.
Yeah, exposing.
And I did.
Yay for exposing.
I did like your post or your video that you did with your interviewers.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, you intend to use that, I mean, or post that with every interviewer or a guest that you come on? Because that was nice. And had their picture in
really?
And your mind. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You didn't know the end of it. I started to put it in because the end of it, Melissa came in, you came in. And there were some people 2 years ago came in. There were voices in there that we haven't heard for a while. They came in. And I was going to put it in that trailer, and I said, no, let me just go for who she is. But it was cute to hear those voices. And I will play that tomorrow at the end of that promo that you hear Melissa comes in, you come in, Laverne, and there's some other voices from the past. It was cute. But thank you for that compliment. Thank you for that compliment. If they've been on a show before, I will pull the archive and I'll do the promo. If they've never been on a show before, I would do it after, but I'm going to have to charge them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because that promo went out to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and some other social media accounts. I wanted to do a special for Jane and also want to show what I can do if you come on the show to move you forward. But I wanted to give it as a gift to Jane. So anybody else want that? They're going to have to pay the man. I got bills. And you don't want it because the next tape, if you don't pay me, the tape that I'm going to send to Jill is me crying.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to hear that. You know.
No.
But thank you. No. Thank you, Laverne. I didn't know if I get the response, but thank you very much. It's nice to hear that I did a good job. All right, guys. I'm going to call Laverne, and I'm going to call Melissa, and
okay.
I'm gonna call Miles. If Miles, you gotta say something in 3 seconds, or I'm not gonna call you. 1001, 1002, 1000. All right, I'm not gonna call Miles.
Wow, he missed out.
He did. You know he's passed out. He smoked his joint. He's laying back. He's passed out. He is passed out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. That's it. Unless anybody want to say one last thing before we go. I mean, anything happened in movies? I was going to do a Trump. Trump was unhinged. You're not going to believe what he did. He's an idiot. I purposely did not do that when Stanley was here because he was having such a good time talking to beautiful. This guy's a maniac. I'll do it tomorrow. Why are we going to spoil it, right? Let's go on.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, things you didn't know about Jeff Bezos. Did you know that he was born rich, by the way? Jeffrey
really?
Bezos was born rich. Yes.
Didn't
do you know
that.
What university he went to? He went to, it starts with a P.
Princeton.
Yes. Yes.
Well, who is Jeff Bezos?
Jeff Bezos is the owner of
Amazon.
Amazon, the richest guy in the world. He owns Amazon.
Oh, Amazon. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And Whole Foods.
Now, you know where... And Whole Foods, yes. And Amazon Films. Did you know where he made his money when he was starting off? Do you know where he made his money from? He invested in Google. That's where he made his money.
Yeah, pretty smart.
He invested in Google, and he made $3.1 billion from Google.
But you know, Brian, I believe if you did a traced his family bloodline, I bet you it's one of those part of the people that rule the world somewhere down the line, because you making that kind of money. You get all the advantages and everything in the world when you're in that bloodline or those bloodlines.
The question is, Laverne, can money make you happy?
Nope, it can't.
You are absolutely right, because guess what Jeff Bezos has in common with Bill Gates?
Divorce.
They both got divorced. Who divorces the richest men in the world? What is wrong with what's going on? You have everything you have in the world, and you get a divorce. You're not happy. What's going on? Bill Gates just got divorced too. What's that?
I know, but see, when you meet the people, you fall in love with them, and then they start, you know, they work so much and don't pay you any attention anymore, and you still have feelings for that person, although you can do whatever you want. But I don't know.
It doesn't bring you happiness.
Ask yourself that question. If you was married with to a rich woman, and she was always bitten,
Right.
Do you think that you would stay with her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the reason why I would stay with her, because she's gone all the time, and she's rich.
Well, what
and
about
in my
if
case,
you got
in my case, she's near death money. Because she's about 100. I'm in the wheel. But golly, go ahead, Laverne. Go ahead.
Well, you know
go
what?
Ahead.
I can get
yes.
money from him to leave him,
right.
and then don't even have to worry about him having detectives following me, see what I'm doing. I'd be a free woman still with money.
Well, you, more money, more problems. I don't know. You know, people think
but
that money
true,
and power
though,
brings. But it's true. You know, the more money you make, the more responsibility you have, the more you are a slave to the people. Because if you make a lot of money, you got a good product, consumers are buying. Then what's the next thing? Look at Apple. I mean, every year is another phone, right? I mean, how many things you could do to a phone? I mean, how do we get the Apple 15 phone? How many? What are? And they're not even talking about the phone anymore. They're talking about pixels and cameras. It gets pretty sad that you're promoting a phone that costs over $1,000 and it says, "Hey, it's great pictures." We lost concept what a phone is about.
But it sells. And like you said, the more money you make, the more you have to work to keep it.
You'd have to work to keep it. You have the stress of your consumers that, you know, you're only on top for the last customer, and then soon, more money, more problems, more stress. You stop living. You become a slave to your clients and a slave to the consumers because you're tricking out what's the next best thing that they want to buy. They're not buying. Oh, my God. Okay, now they're buying. They're happy. Oh, my God. Why would I want to be a slave to that? So I just want to be happy, pay a bill or two, and find peace and joy in my masturbation. I sure
you
know how to
do that.
Clean
you can do that. Uh-huh. You can do that and living in a tent.
I'll keep that in mind. I can live in a box, a refrigerator box at Walmart in a tent. I'll keep that in mind. Oh, my God.
Yep.
See, you always bring out the joyness of masturbation. Thank you, Laverne. Laverne, everybody. Thank you guys for coming in. I know you guys got a life, and I'm going to try to find one. I'll see you guys tomorrow. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network, 96.7. That's me. You guys are the best morning crew ever. Hey, bye, Jill. Bye, Oliver. Bye, Sean Jr. We are out of here.
Bye,
bye
everybody.
Bye, Bernie.
Bye,
Melissa. Bye, everybody. Let's go.
Say something, I'm giving up on.